Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fun-tastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, what have we got in store for you tonight? Well, the ladies will be talking about Doctor Who, Fear the Walking Dead, and The Walking Dead World Beyond. Then I will join, and we will talk about all three of the first episodes of The Wheel of Time, and then we'll talk about the 4400, and then Karen and I will finish out the night with Discovery, and I'm sure we'll think of other things to rattle on about, as we always do. So, as soon as the ladies get here, we will get rocking and rolling. What else have I been watching? That might be of interest. Quite honestly, can't think of anything new I've been watching. I recently watched The Harder They Fall on Netflix. It's the Western with Idris Jonathan Majors and Regina King, Zazie Beetz. That's all I can think of off the top of my head. Really, really good movie. Thoroughly enjoyed that. What else have I watched? I don't know. What else is going on in my world? Nothing. I can't think of anything I'm here. Well, Karen just texted me that she's here, but Vault Talk Radio ain't showing me crap. You know, I just realized I don't even see that I'm here. So, let's refresh. Hey, we're all here now.
Hello.
Karen has her hand held up.
Hello.
How do you have your hand held up, Karen?
There's a little hand raised.
I've never seen that before.
Did you press one? I usually press one, but I actually didn't.
Well, you know what's funny? Until I got Karen's text that said I'm here, I'm looking at the screen and I didn't even notice that I wasn't in the screen either.
Yeah, I heard you say that. I've been here too.
Oh, I love Block Talk Radio.
That was painful. That was painful. I was listening to you talk and I was like, I'm here. You couldn't get through. Anyway, I'm here now. Hi.
Hello, everybody.
I made it. Hi, Jamie. How are you guys?
Hello.
Good.
All right. Well,
hello.
There's always something exciting at the beginning of this podcast, thanks to Blog Talk Radio.
Yep.
All right. Well, we got lots to talk about, so you ladies should jump right in.
Okay.
All right.
Let's jump right in.
You want to start with Doctor Who?
Yes, let's start with Doctor Who.
Okay, we can do that. Which, by the way, I don't know if you got my message. It's back on New Year's. I didn't know that. Because I didn't know when the specials were coming, but I had gotten an email that wasn't even, I don't think, supposed to be like a reveal. I guess you were supposed to know that. I didn't know it was coming back on New Year's, but it is.
But
anyway,
the holiday special is on New Year's, you mean?
Yeah, I didn't know for sure what they were doing. I hadn't really looked. But I got an email from, I don't know, some Doctor Who thing I'm part of, and I'm like, oh, it is on New Year's. Okay, cool.
Well, first we got to get through the mess of the fall, and it is indeed a mess.
Well, this one was good. I really liked this one. Maybe you didn't, but I did.
I wouldn't say I really liked it. I'll say it's an improvement. It's better.
I really liked it. I mean, it had weird stuff in it, and I'm not sure where they're going with it, but I thought overall the story was a lot more cohesive. I mean, yeah. I still could have done without Belle and Vendor, but I didn't feel like it really took me out of the story like it did the week before. Like, it didn't really bother me. Although I will say, this may also have caused, which I didn't even think to tell you when I was watching it, is that because my internet was being fixed that day, I kept getting buffering constantly. So it took me a lot longer than an hour to watch it. I don't know if that affected my
it was like an hour and 15 minutes anyway.
Well, it
was, I mean,
like
it was a long episode.
2 hours for me, but
yeah,
because I did have
to come
back. But regardless of that, I don't know. I because it would, like, it would be right when the dang angel would, like, unfreeze, and it, like, you know, when they, like, move, and, like, the damn screen would freeze. Like, this is not helping. But that being said, I don't know. I really liked the angels, and I thought it was a pretty tense episode. I mean, there were some silly things, granted. Like, I would really like to know why the angels are stopped by locked doors, but that's a whole other problem.
They can come. They can come through a TV screen or out of the fire at you, but they can't come through a locked door.
Yeah. But to be fair, that's not Chibnall that did that. That's just the way the Weeping Angels are. But I like the Weeping Angels, and I thought this one was pretty creepy. I like that they brought back the whole an image of an angel as an image. I mean, they really played with that in this one. And I liked Claire again, and I also liked that Jericho, and I liked how he was, like, totally not giving in to them. I liked that. I don't know if I like the division storyline. I'm not sure where it's going. I don't totally hate it, but I didn't hate the storyline as much as other people did. I don't like that they retcon things, but I don't necessarily hate some of that, you know, mythology. I'm just, like, totally confused why she turned into an angel, but it was kind of like a cool cliffhanger, and it looked really cool the way they did it. Yeah, and I also, did you watch the preview?
For next week? Yeah, I did.
The thing that I was going to say is you always talk about how you don't like superheroes and that are, like, all-powerful and can beat everybody type of thing.
Yeah.
I think the fact that she doesn't come back for a while and they're going to be, like, less for 3 years, I think is kind of interesting. Because I mean, we get that sometimes when the Doctor loses, and I don't mind that, because not that I want something bad to happen per se. I mean, I want it to have a happy ending, but, like, for it not to go right, I think is kind of interesting, and I want to know how that happens. Like, I think that could be a good thing, that they're maybe just kind of left there for a while to figure out what to do. And they did have more stuff to do this time, at least.
Actually, I thought they had very little to do. I thought we could have had this whole episode without the companions and nothing would have changed.
Really? I don't know. I liked them going with the girl. And I liked how they kind of did the two times at the same time. I mean, I think everybody had probably guessed that was the little girl fairly early on. But regardless, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of a cool episode overall. And I thought it was very creepy when they're going through the tunnel and, like, the angel's arms are coming. Again, Wyatt can come through
that was cool.
an underground
yeah.
tunnel, but not come through locked doors. But, I mean, I thought that was pretty cool how it was coming after them, and then suddenly it stopped. I don't know. Overall, I liked it, but I like Weeping Angels. So I just thought it was pretty freaky.
I thought it was better than it has been. I mean, it was the best episode we've had yet, which is kind of not saying much because I haven't really liked any of it yet.
You mean this season or you mean out of Jodie's?
No, this episode of this season. It was the best episode of this season of the four. What was it, the third or the fourth that we've seen? I mean, it was the best we've seen of this Flux storyline, which is we've talked about it every week, what a mess it is.
The best of the season, definitely.
No, it was the best of this season. It was the best of this bad, of this poor, terrible season so far, in my opinion. I just don't think it's been a good season. But this was the best. I like the Angels, too. They are one of the Doctor's oldest and scariest enemies.
Of the new Doctor Who's, but yes.
Of all time. Of all time, I think. I think they're one
of the oldest ones. They weren't in the classics. That's why
it was okay, but
that
this,
way.
You know, it came out, it's been on for 15, 16 years now. It's not a new show anymore, the new series.
No, no.
It's been on for 16 years. I don't know when they made their first appearance, but they are one of the, and they're established in, like, you know, anyway, I, you know, one problem with them being a long established show is that every time the Doctor beats them, the next time we see them, they're more powerful. And like, the Weeping Angels are getting more and more powerful, right? I mean, they're really powerful in this episode. I mean, to be able to take over the TARDIS and then to be able to take over the Doctor, I'm not sure I'm down with them
yeah,
taking
I'm not
over
the
sure Doctor's
about
body.
The TARDIS thing, but
no, I'm definitely. I mean, the TARDIS.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, you can't just take over the TARDIS because it's been established that the TARDIS almost like has a mind of its own and sometimes doesn't even listen to the Doctor, right?
And it's supposed to not let anything in, and it's sold a lot of stuff in this time, but. That being said, it was supposed to be already screwed up by the Flux. Yeah. I don't know
yes.
if the thought that the Angels got into the TARDIS. I said that last time.
Yeah,
I mean,
we said
I
that
think
last week.
The idea of using the quote, the Angels have the TARDIS, and it kind of being a throwback, I didn't mind. But them actually getting in the TARDIS, yeah. But aside from
yeah.
the beginning of them in the TARDIS, the part of them in this, you know, whatever it was, 1967 and 1901, that stuff. I like.
I mean, it was fine, and it was pretty standard Weeping Angel kind of stuff.
Mostly dedicated to the Angels, which made it a lot better than these previous weeks.
Well,
I mean, we
yes,
really
but if I can
with Azure, but you know,
yeah, but
it wasn't.
I didn't think it was a great episode. I thought it was an okay, a better episode. Again, I don't love that. You know, like I say, any foe that becomes more and more dangerous has to be, like, unbeatable. I liked that most of this episode was the Doctor with no weapons and only her wits as her only weapon to try to figure out what's going
mm-hmm.
on and to beat the Angels. I like that. That's always good, no matter what the situation is that the Doctor's in, right?
Mm-hmm.
That always works well. So I like that. I don't buy them taking over bodies of anyone. Claire, starting with Claire... Like, I mean, Chibnall really had to work around the image of the...
I mean, the Angel
like
hiding in her, I mean, that's sort of what happened to Amy, not in the exact way, but...
Not
I mean,
really,
the
not in that way.
In the image of her eye, that's what happened to Amy. The difference is this one was
I know.
In her, like, psychic eye, I guess you could say, as opposed
yes.
to, like, she
yes,
actually
which I don't,
saw.
Which is not... Like, is not, and, like, I have an issue with that. That, to me, that's just taking the idea of the image a little far. I didn't love that. And I don't really like the idea that they're capable of taking over the Doctor. And what I really don't, mostly, I really have a problem with the whole Division storyline, partly because it's just nothing. Like, the Division, like, we keep hearing about the Division, but we don't really know anything about it. And I know... Okay, they're not going to give everything up front. I'm not saying they should have given me everything up front, but I'm having a problem caring about the Division because there's just not enough being given to me to make me really feel its menace or maybe it's not menacing. Maybe it's a – I mean, they are people that sort of – I mean, there's some sort of, like, police force of the universe of the Time Lords or whatever, right? I mean, they're from Gallifrey. They were – I don't know. See, I can't talk about it because we're not, we don't, like, I just feel like it's hard for me to, like, really care about that the Doctor can't remember her time with the Division because, I don't know, I just don't feel it's being written in a way that's making me care. So I liked it as a standalone episode of The Angels, which
yeah.
is always enjoyable, right? It's
yeah,
not... There's just way
I'm not
too
sure
much.
How I feel about the Division stuff, but I like the rest of it.
There's just
but
way too
admit.
Much.
Sorry, go ahead. I
what?
Didn't want to cut you off.
Well, there's just
well,
way
I'm
too just... much of a million kinds of mythology being jammed into this story this season. It's just there's just way too much still. So, and finally, go ahead. What do I have to admit? Go ahead. Before I say
no,
the next
I'm just
going to
say I don't know that the idea of her turning into an angel makes a lot of sense. I'm not saying it does. But I think, at least in my opinion, you have to admit that for a cliffhanger and the, like, actual image of the way they did it, I think was really cool. Like,
yeah.
It was
yeah.
crazy the way, like, she turned into stone and covered her face. I liked that. It doesn't make
yeah.
sense, but I liked it. But to me, that not making, but to me, that part not making sense, I was okay with. Getting all of the stuff with the memory and that, not knowing it, not making sense, that stuff irritates me. But just the part of, like, why was the angel able to take her over? I mean, because I'm kind of wondering, maybe she's from whatever the race of angels. I mean, I don't know. Chibnall's done such weird stuff. I mean, who knows? Maybe angels used to be from Gallifrey. I have no clue. But it made me want to know what happened. So I like the ending as a cliffhanger. Yeah, like you said, as a standalone episode. Do I want to know more about the division? I don't know. I have to wait and see where it goes. But as like a thrilling running away from angels thing, I thought it was pretty cool. And I like, there was a lot of good lines in it too. Like I loved where the doctor's talking to that Jericho and he's like, how did you get in here? And she's like, the door is open. He's like, no, it wasn't. She's like, well, it was after I opened it. I thought that was kind of funny. And she just kind of keeps, ignoring him and doing what she wants. So I appreciated some of those kind of little lines.
I liked Jericho. Yeah. I thought he was a good character. I liked Jericho as a, as a
and I liked
one
how they were talking in his voice. They don't do that a lot, but I thought that was kind of cool how they were talking to him. And it looked really cool when it jumped through the TV, too, right before he smashed it. Like, it showed it kind of happened in the TV. That was pretty cool. Actually, I think part of why I like this, too, is this episode, and because of my headaches, I never did get to finish it. I need to go back and finish it. Because I had lost the save, but this made me think a lot of the part of the game playing it and having the angels stalking you. Like it gave me because it even made me think of like this one room that you're in that's got like a phonograph and that's in the game, and I kept getting that like feeling like an angel was gonna kind of jump out. So I mean, to me, I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know whether I got it only because of the game or not, but I liked it. It made me like the game more and think I want to go back and finish it. So, But and the story with Bell and Bender did not annoy me like it did before.
No, it somehow seemed to feel like it's starting to make a little, they pared down the number of storylines going on in any one episode, I guess. And, Bell and Bender started to like make a little more sense as a couple and as a story.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been just a really good standalone episode of Doctor Who, the Doctor meeting Belle and helping her or whatever. I'm not sure where it's going or if I care or if it, makes sense. But I found it less distracting and annoying. That's starting to come together a little bit. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I do think, though, that if you have to send somebody a message and you have one chance to get it out, maybe you ought to start with your coordinates and, I'm pregnant. That was the point of her getting cut off. But it's like she said absolutely nothing important other than I love you through the whole message.
And then she says, I don't have much time, so, and then she gets cut off, yeah.
Yeah, of course she does.
Yeah.
But
I know you disagree, but I think the companions were a really weak part of this episode. We could have not had them in it at all, I feel, and it would have been like
we needed per se that storyline, but I thought some of it was good. I liked them with the little girl. The part with the couple, I don't know that they necessarily needed, but I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool how they had like the two timelines going on concurrently and like being able to see each other, I thought was
kind of
neat.
I just feel like they continue to give the companions nothing to do, really, particularly Yaz. I think they're doing a piss-poor job of introducing a new companion, because I really could care less about Dan and whatever his name is, and I kind of wish he would go away. I'm not looking forward to him as the new companion. I don't like him. And I blame the writers for not introducing him in a way that he's just dumb and he has a little comic relief when he says dumb things, and that's about it. He's not the kind of personality that most of the companions have that I want to see, and I don't like him or care about him. I'm disappointed that he's going to be the new companion. They haven't shown me any reason why the Doctor would actually want to take this guy with her around the galaxy, universe, wherever. So they've got a couple more episodes to try to make me care about him. Other people, I think, like him, I just don't. And I feel like time with him is time not spent with the doctor or yes.
Maybe if they had had the two of them stay with her, maybe they could have had, it might have worked better and not had like that side storyline, I guess. But they wanted to do the part of the little girl and everything, and they had to have it split up.
Well, he hasn't been with her at all. The entire, pretty much the whole season, he's been off on
his own. That's true. And maybe that's the problem. They haven't really had time to get like a relationship, friendship, anything really between.
Yeah.
The three of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So, anyway.
Well.
Better. Not great, but better.
And next week, Unit, the lady from, I can't think what her name is, but the one that's related to Lethbridge Stewart. Unit
Sarah
lady.
Jane?
No, the is one there? From Unit, the blonde woman. I can't for the life of me.
Oh,
her name.
Yeah.
But she's coming back. I wish that they had What's-Your-Face back with her, though. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't think of their names. But the woman with the inhaler, I wish she was with her. So I like her.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. Osborne, Osgood.
Oswald, yeah. Oswald.
No,
Osgood,
not
yeah.
Osgood, right? Yeah.
Right, Osgood, yeah. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen her, too. But I like the unit at least coming back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all right,
we'll see where it goes next week. Yep. Yes. All right, well, at any rate, I liked it. I mean, it was
a
like,
much
you know,
better
the best episode ever, but I, as an independent episode, I liked it.
Look, it was far better than the other show we're going to talk about, Fear the Walking Dead. Right? I mean, it wasn't a terrible hour, and it was better than, last week. It's an improvement. I didn't hate it.
But
it
was better than last week.
Three quarters of it was a good story.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I there's this feeling, I think maybe what I don't like, and we've talked about this a little bit, this feeling that Chibnall's trying to, retcon the entire
thing before he goes and change everything, yeah.
Right? He's retconning everything or establishing entirely new mythology, or is he going to just, I read some speculation online that is he really just going to let Flux destroy this universe and then the new writers get a clean slate entering, the Doctor into, another universe where you could say, you were saying last week, is it going to be none of this happened, right? Is it going to be it could be the Doctor wakes up from a dream almost and has a clean slate.
That exactly, but yeah, if it
yeah,
ends
no,
up
not a dream exactly, but
a parallel pocket universe or something,
yeah,
or that maybe, the,
yeah.
I mean, it could even to me, I would even be okay if you found out that maybe everything the Master said was a total lie. I mean, do we really know that what he said about the timeless child was even true? Because she doesn't have the memory. We don't know.
Right.
I mean, I would be okay if it just ended up it was all a lie. Because then he got to do his story, and people aren't pissed that he changed it. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind the mythology he's put in for the most part. I think it's interesting. I don't like the retconning bit, which is, what most people have a problem with. There's supposed to be X amount of doctors. And, yes, it was cool shock value ways, but, after the fact, it just didn't. It just doesn't work.
It just gets messier and messier, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, next week is 5 of 6, so.
Yeah.
We're near the end of, it's kind of, I don't know, the fact that we're on 4 episodes and they've had so many different things going on, I think is the biggest problem.
And we're we don't even really know.
I seriously wonder if they wrote 10 episodes and said, it's COVID, we can't do it. Let's keep all of it anyway. That's what I feel
and just
like
it, yeah, and make everything an hour and 15 minutes. And
Yeah, and they just shove all into one. All right.
Maybe.
Okay, well, do you want to
do
Fear first?
All right, let's do Fear first,
Okay, Reclamation. So this whole episode is basically about Al and her going off with their girlfriend.
Yeah.
I mean, first, like, if you go by it as a standalone, the action in the episode wasn't bad. But I feel like I don't want to say, I like Al, but I don't really care about this girl at all, I guess, is my biggest problem.
Well, yeah.
The fact that they risked everything for her. Like, yes, she risked her life to help them because she cared about Al, but this whole that they do it all over again and Morgan, you know, and them are real, I don't know. I feel like this character to begin with didn't really work for me, and they brought her back, and now they got rid of Al. I liked Al. I didn't want her to leave, and now she's gone, and I don't care about her friends.
Well,
sorry.
Well, good for Maggie Grace for getting off of this train wreck. I mean, she's barely – I said to you via text message, look, I'm sorry Maggie Grace is off the show, but really, do I even care about Al? When's the last time we even saw Al? Okay, she was in a little bit last week, but Al hasn't really had a storyline since the middle of last season, I think, right?
Although, to be fair, most of them haven't had storylines since the middle of last season.
That's part of the reason why you don't care, and I agree with you, why I don't care about Isabel. I don't think it really was established enough for us. I mean, we know Al's in love with this woman and has been almost since she laid eyes on her. And we've seen that.
Wait,
let me finish. It's not just that she barely knew her. It's that we don't know her at all. The intensity of this relationship is not established because we never really saw it, you know?
Yeah.
And not only did we never even see it, but Al never talked about it. Like, the storyline was set up that Al has this secret love that nobody knows about, right? And it's hard to – she never even talked about how much she loves this person. So at least, like, all that time we never saw Sherry, we had Dwight, like, searching relentlessly for Sherry. And so, I mean, maybe this is not a good comparison, but you know what I mean? Like, it's established that he loves her.
But this character we've barely seen, and she barely talked about – And I still, I don't know. I don't, sorry, I'm trying to plug my phone in. Sorry to die. No, I dropped my phone. Sorry. I mean, I don't know. I get that you don't necessarily have to know somebody forever, but, like, she meets her, and she's madly in love with her right after she meets her, and from then on, we're just supposed to buy that. And we never hear much about her because she hides everything, and you're just supposed to buy that she's risking everything for this person she doesn't know. I have a problem with that. You know?
It's not a person she doesn't know. It's a person, like, we don't know. I mean, she knows her, believes she knows her, and we don't know how much they've been speaking off and meeting each other. Like, Al has all this video. There's all this video of them, which I thought it was kind of dumb also. So the whole video, I was like, for most of the time, like, why does Al have this video of herself talking to Isabel? Why wouldn't she have video of Isabel to look at? And then I thought maybe what we're seeing is actually Isabel looking at the video that she has of Al. Like, what are we really seeing?
Yeah,
I thought
Isabel was supposed to have been the one that recorded it, but weird they didn't want to show her.
Well, then I thought, how does every single person on, like, I'm sorry, like, there's so many cameras and tape recorders around on the show, right? That it's crazy. And I just, I'm with you on, like, not really caring. I mean, that Isabel has to flee because the people want to kill her is also, like, I feel like it makes no sense at all. If you're watching the other show, if you're watching World Beyond, it makes a little more sense because that show has more established the ruthlessness of the CRM, right? But if you're only watching Fear the Walking Dead, you know, like, what, like, it's really not established how dangerous people are or why she has to leave. It was, I don't know. It was nice to have Al leave the show in a way that she's not just killed off in a walker attack, which happens to almost everyone on the show. And if you're not killed, if you just leave on your own, you leave stupidly like Michonne, which, like, you know, we've talked about the unbelievability of Michonne just leaving her kids.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Morgan.
The one thing that I didn't get, and this is just another nitpick of kind of bad writing, but
Take away.
The one thing that irritated me is whenever that one of the CRM has a gun on Morgan and Grace, right? Morgan gets the gun, and he's got a gun on him. Does he say to Grace, Grace, pick up the other gun? No, of course not, because then they could stop them. Instead,
Grace is so dumb.
The guy ends up, yeah, because they could have at that point gotten the upper hand. Although I have to say, the one big thing about this episode I have to mention, which I don't know if you agree, but this had an awesome kill in it. That cannon blowing up those people was so awesome, even though it wasn't a zombie. Even the test cannon was cool, I thought. Was it? It was cool in a, like, the wrestling way cool. It was really ridiculous. But I thought it was pretty cool. I liked it. I liked her blowing the people up. I thought it was funny.
Yes. It was an interesting new thing that they did. It defies belief that they have access to a working cannon and gunpowder to operate it, right? Like, okay,
yeah,
so
I
there are
cannons.
Yes, you did. But I mean, it's an example of the horrible, horrible writing on this show, right? That everyone has a working walkie-talkie. Like, where did all these gas masks come from? How does every single person have a gas mask?
Forget that. How
and a Geiger?
So many batteries. That's what
well,
I like.
And where'd they get all these Geiger counters? Where'd they get all the? I mean, I've never seen a real live Geiger counter in my life. Have you?
Yeah,
like,
and
where,
all the hazmat suits that magically appeared. Yeah.
Yes.
Especially,
yeah, all these
what I want to know is where the heck Dwight and Sherry got hazmat suits. Because, like, I get that there's maybe stuff on the sub, especially because Teddy was planning this. I get that where June and Dory were down where he was, you know, going to stay, that there was hazmat suits. I don't get how Dwight and Sherry go into the fallout shelter type thing. Not a fallout shelter. You know what I mean. Originally, before that, their basement thing. In these people's house. And
it's
they have
a
all
storm
these
cellar.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
the
I think
cellar, somehow they have not. They didn't have hazmat suits. They had gas masks. But my point is how did they have any of this? Like, why? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, even June was kind of making her own suit. Remember, she was working on it and taping it and everything. But, yes, where did all the gas masks come from? Where did all the Geiger counters, all the walkie like, all of it is ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I guess if they have all that, sure, why isn't there, like, a Civil War-era cannon still in, or whatever era it's from, like, an actual cannon in perfect working order? And you need, like, actual gunpowder to, like, fire a cannon, right? So they have that also. And there was actually, like, in the first scene, there's a cannonball, right? She uses a cannonball in the first scene.
You're just making me laugh because I was thinking of something. I thought of you the one day when I was watching it on the one La Brea. I don't remember which La Brea it was, but I know it had to have aired now. But they get this, I don't even remember what it was, but it collapses, okay? And the one guy's like, we can use dynamite like they did on Lost.
That
was so funny.
Yeah.
I started laughing.
Yeah.
It was totally meant to be great. It just, I was thinking, and then I started thinking about the Black Rock and about arts and everything. And
you
said about the cannon.
Well,
made me think of that.
I mean, this show, yeah. I mean, all of this stuff, I mean, it was a very cool zombie kill, and it was cool the way she kind of shredded those people. Of course, they were sort of the most dumbass CRM officers ever that they repeatedly, like, fall for, you know, all these tricks. But whatever.
Yeah.
It was cool looking. It defies any type of believability, but it was cool looking. You know, I think...
But you don't
want
to show for believability, but yes.
Yes. I mean, I also have a problem with, like, I just can't believe they stuck with this Al, the journalist storyline till the bitter end. And in the end, Al's like, oh, I chose the camera over. That's kind of ridiculous that, I mean, there's been a nuclear bomb, okay? Like,
and you're still
like, I'm going to go around and interview people. It's important. And you've given up, like, everyone and everything. And that she, like, that she has the camera and that, okay, if it's her life and yet she wanders off and leaves the camera, she leaves the camera in the armored vehicle when she leaves, right? Because Morgan
didn't
come up and
find
the camera.
Morgan couldn't have obviously stolen it. I mean, you knew Morgan had it from the beginning. He didn't even have to say he had it.
Yeah, right.
Which I thought was kind of funny.
You know,
in in a not they shouldn't have done it way. It was funny, but I mean, it was like, yeah, of course he did. You know, she was dumb enough.
This camera is the most important thing in her life. She gives up everything for it, and then she's dumb enough to leave it there when she runs off. Then, you know, then later again, it's, I don't know. I'm so glad when she smashed. I think all everyone watching it was like, oh my God, thank God she smashed that stupid camera, which making these tapes have gotten them into so much trouble. Like making tapes and leaving them lying around, and I mean, it's, you know, so I really was disappointed that they full on committed to it for Al's like final story. Like it was, I don't know, it was nice to see somebody get a pseudo happy ending on this show, maybe, but it was just dumb the way it was, right? And okay, who's watching that baby while Morgan and Grace are running around?
Yeah, I saw people posting that too. We're questioning. I guess they're with. It sounded like they're with the other group now, but still,
what other
yeah,
group?
They just kind of missed it.
What other group?
They're with Mo and Charlie and
Daniel
I think
and
they,
Charlie.
Like,
oh,
wait, there was like a throwaway comment that lasted 2 seconds somewhere there in the middle.
They have the baby.
Said, there was a comment about it. Yeah. So the baby's back with them, but it was a little convenient. But then again,
so,
if the baby was with them, we would have been complaining because the baby was with them. So,
well, it's
yeah.
just, I mean, it's just so ridiculous, right? I mean, and, okay, answer me another question then. If they got the baby, why, when they lived in this really nice fort with a cannon, would outside of the zone, why did they go move into the submarine, which is like totally like in the middle of the radiation zone? Like, why do Morgan and Grace still live in the submarine, and why would other people be like, oh yeah, the submarine seems like a great idea, let's move in there with you?
That's a good question. If they had gotten out, you're right, I thought they had such a hard time getting past that area. But you know, then again, now they have so much of that, which again, I thought that those pills were supposed to just be from the leaking warhead, but that seemed to be different radiation than the warhead that exploded, and somehow now they seem to have enough medicine they don't have to worry about radiation.
We know the warhead, one of the warheads landed right by the submarine. We saw the explosion. We saw how all the zombies were like turned to cinders.
You're right.
Cinders,
once they
but
got
Morgan,
out of there,
Morgan hit under a truck.
Back.
Yes.
They
why are they? I mean,
getting out. Why would they go back?
Well,
it doesn't
and,
make
like,
sense.
Everything is covered with radiation where they live in that submarine. It's
mm-hmm.
like the worst place you can be. And then yet Morgan, like every episode, he's like running around Texas. He's like, oh, let me go visit Al in her place. Let me go visit Strand in his place. Let me go find Sherry. Let me go find Dory underground. Like Morgan is like a better bloodhound than that dog. Morgan just finds everyone and he can drive around everywhere. So why does he keep living in the submarine? It's driving me insane. It's making it hard for me to like, yeah. It was just another terrible, terrible episode. I would say 90% of this episode was terrible and 10% of it was kind of good, including the awesome kills that you mentioned, which were cool. And parts of Al, like it was just nice to see Maggie Grace again and to see her character, and just unfortunate that her character is like turned into this, like, I don't know.
I've
you know.
Said before, I think the thing is this, the thing that saves the show enough that it's not as horrible is that it's really good acting, a lot of it. That's the good
yeah.
part. It's just they need a good story to go along with it, you know? They need to up the writing.
I mean, the acting is pretty solid week after week. Yeah, I just – also,
but
I mean,
you can't
we cannot
have a show that only has good acting. That's – a problem.
We cannot let this go by. I'm sorry. I can't let this conversation end without mentioning the part where Al knows how to fly a helicopter now. Like,
yeah.
What? Al, like, I'm sorry. Al does not know how to fly a helicopter. And dating a pilot doesn't make you learn how to fly a helicopter.
No. Wasn't there something, though, before when they were trying to get on the helicopter, wasn't she trying to fly it back then? She knew about flying a – because she knew how to fly a little plane or something, didn't she? I don't know. Is flying a helicopter similar
to
plane?
To,
I mean, I don't know.
Knows.
I have no idea. I'm asking. I don't. She had knew how to fly the plane or something.
Oh, that stupid plane they had to fly. So Morgan can walk all over Texas, but last season he had to fly a plane to go rescue someone.
You're right. No, but I'm just saying, if you can fly like a plane, can you fly a helicopter? Maybe if you know how to fly one, you know how to fly the other. I don't know. I have no idea.
No, I don't believe that is the case. I know a guy who flew jets in the Navy and had to get extra training to fly a helicopter. It's not the same thing. It probably is helpful. I don't know. Also,
but
I don't know how she learned.
Knowing being able to do it or
okay,
things, but I
my
don't
dad,
know.
My dad was in the 1st Cavalry. He spent the entire Korean War riding around in a plane. It didn't make him a pilot. Like he hours and hours and hours and hours in the sky didn't make him a pilot, right?
Yeah, but remember, on movies, if you fly a plane in video games, you can be a pilot. I'm just saying, the way they do things nowadays, they have...
in most video games, yes. I mean, you don't play helicopter. Okay, first of all, these people haven't touched a video game in 10 years on this show. But whatever, it's ludicrous.
No, it is.
Also, Al made a remark. She said, and I talked to you about this also, she said that Isabel went to a cabin in the Smokies. So the Great Smoky Mountains are in Tennessee. So she flew this helicopter all the way to Tennessee. And I mentioned to you, like, how many times did she have to stop to refuel? And, like, she just knows where all the CRM depots are and knows how to ability to speak because it's so bad.
Can travel really fast. They all have TARDISes and they can go really fast.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I know that, like, yes, we're watching the show about, actually the most annoying thing is that the show isn't even about zombies anymore, right? We watch a show about the zombie apocalypse. I mean, you can say, yeah, you're not watching it for realism, but we are kind of watching it for realism. And I would like to have some type of, like,
I'm watching
like,
it for believability, not realism,
yes.
But believability, I'd say.
Yes, thank you,
more
Jamie.
Accurate.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. And it's this kind of sloppiness makes the show hard to watch, right? The complete, like, I cannot believe that these guys have not been fired. Like, they became the showrunners in, I think, season 4. And I just can't believe that AMC just doesn't care at all about how crappy this show gets week after week after week, right? How bad the writing is week after week after week. I just, I don't know. Like, I guess you can probably hear my voice.
Sometimes there's glimmers of it having the possibility of getting somewhere, but, like, it always kind of doesn't, for lack of a better way of explaining it. You're always kind of like, well, I think it's headed that no. No.
I'm really at the point where I guess I just feel I'm just offended, really, week after week at what they're passing. Like they're really insulting our taste and intelligence, but the person that I should be offended at is myself because I keep watching it and I'm free to not watch it. but I hate watching it. But anyway, yeah, it was bad. And yet it wasn't as bad as some other episodes have been.
That's why I said a lot of it, I think, is that a lot of times the acting is really good. And it's like, that doesn't make it okay, but when you're watching it, like, scene for scene, it can be, I'm just trying to think of the right way to say it, enjoyable in the sense that, like, it's it's emotional and it's done well in that sense. And it's got good effects, too. I mean, the show is, per se, made well. They spend a lot of money on it. They just need to hire new writers, if we're totally honest.
Yeah, it's made well. The special effects and the makeup are consistently very good.
Yeah, the acting's good. They just need to change the story. And
the
quit
acting
rehashing
is,
the same story.
The acting is mostly pretty solid. It's not Emmy Award-winning acting because
no,
I just think...
I mean,
I think some of these actors are not challenged.
That, too. But again,
and
that's
like,
the script most, yeah.
Like, what do we expect Maggie Grace to really do with what she was given this week, right? Or poor Karen David, is that her name, who played Grace? Grace needs to be killed. I mean, Grace is just... I don't know.
They gave her some good stuff,
problem,
maybe, but they haven't.
This problem has a real trouble with couples. Like, you know, so Al and Isabel are a terrible couple because they're not a couple because Isabel's invisible, right? It's like a non-relationship to the viewer. Grace and Morgan are terrible, terrible couple. They have, like, no chemistry at all.
It's, the thing is they have glimpses of things. That's what I said. Like, I feel like they have glimpses of things that you see that could be good, and they'll have, like, one thing that's like, okay, that's interesting, but then they move off on it to something else. Like, I
there
think
are
the
no
stuff
glimpses.
They have... Well, some of it, I said. Like, I think, like we said, like, the stuff that they had with Sarah was good. But the problem is she's not even a main character. Like when they
but I'm not talking.
It seems like likely when they get to the main character. No, I know, but I'm saying that's part of it. Like they have some good stuff with like the idea of we talked about how like it would be hard for Grace after she just lost the baby to like have to raise this baby. Like that could be interesting. Just like the stuff with Daniel, he's losing his memory and like the fact of surviving that in this environment could
okay,
be
but you're but don't
but like you just
don't,
see them and they don't pick
Jimmy,
up
don't,
on it. No,
what
I'm
about me?
That's the problem.
I'm talking about how horrible Morgan and Grace are and how horrible every couple is on the show, and like just because one other unrelated thing is okay, they're terrible. They're a
but
terrible couple.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like they get those moments but they don't pick the good moments. Like they pick everything else. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Like they ignore all the stuff that could be good. I guess is what I'm saying.
I mean, nothing, nothing is good.
Yeah,
nothing is good. And when there is something good, like the character of Victor Strand, they go out of their way to ruin it. And we'll talk, he's on next week, so we'll talk more about his ridiculous character, how he's become ridiculous. But, yeah, it was just not a great, it was not the worst, but like there's no longer really ever a really good episode of this show. This was like partially less bad one, but it's just so full of ridiculous scenarios that defy any kind of logic or like that you just like it distracts me so much from like anything. And look, and I really wish that I could have said goodbye to the character of Al in a way that I didn't want to like smash the camera like that like her story I was just very disappointed that the writers committed to that to the bitter end anyway.
She should have moved on. Just, well, next week it's about Strand, and I will say
my god, I'm
a lot
so
of,
mad
like, there's a did you see it yet
no? No, I'm gonna be so mad because I'm so mad about Strand.
No,
right,
there's a lot of I feel like the next episode, and I'm not going to get into what it is or spoil it or anything because it is on AMC Plus. But like, I feel like this one coming up, like there's a lot of things that not a lot, but there's certain things that I like that they did, but I don't know that I necessarily still like the direction they're taking it. And I think you're going to probably feel the same way. Like there's certain things that happen in the episode. I'm like, well, that could have went differently and maybe it would have been more interesting than what, it's hard to talk about without talking about it. But I'm curious what you think about the episode.
I mean, I'll be interested. All right, so we'll talk about it next week, but I have to say I really think they lost me for the storyline when they had Victor send assassins to kill the parents and the little girl that Sherry and Dwight were living with. It's just so...
I agree. It seems out of character.
It's the ultimate. It's just not Victor. It's the ultimate example of how they've ruined Victor.
I like the Strand that struggles to be good, not the Strand that has chosen to be bad.
Yeah.
I think me and you both kind of feel that way. Like the Strand from before. I feel he's changed at any rate.
Or the Strand who just is the Strand who is the Strand who Strand is selfish and a con man who's always looking to advance himself, but not
right.
He's,
but
never,
I never really
he's not
at
a child killer. He would murder
right,
children
exactly.
For basically no reason. Like I still don't really understand what he achieved by even doing that. Right, by being like, ha ha, Sherry, I can kill your friends. Like what? Yeah. So I'm sure I'll be enraged next week because I just
I
there's
I,
nothing. I don't see how they can get that character back on track for me.
Yeah, I think they've decided that he's the villain and that's just the way it is, and yeah, which is sad.
And 7 years of storytelling be damned.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We had 7 years of Victor being established who he is, and that's just, like, out the window because they needed a Negan for this show. They couldn't think of anything. So they're like, let's do a Negan. Let's turn Victor into Negan. Anyway, that's next week, so we'll talk about it. There was enough to eat this week.
So we'll talk about it next week, and at post episode, I have the interview with Coleman going up too. So,
oh my god,
it was really good
interview. You know what? More
really
power to
interview.
You, Jamie, because I don't think I could interview that guy without being like, "What the fuck is wrong with your show?"
Yeah, you can't say that. No, but I think it was a good interview. I'll just say I think it was a really good interview, but yeah, you have to see the episode and to know, you know, because it's definitely post-mortem. People can look at that. All right.
Well, good luck, Maggie Grace, getting on a better show. More power to you, sister.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to World Beyond, I guess.
Okay.
Which I think was the better of the two shows.
Yeah.
And we've been saying that. I'm starting to agree with the one thing you said. I think part of the reason why this show is doing better, like, story-wise, is because it has a direction. It knows where it's going because it's moving towards an end point instead of just going off into, you know, nowhere. I mean, this is kind of the episode where the shit starts to hit the fan, and, I mean, it's not all of it yet, but it, at least with... in regards to the perimeter, I keep wanting to call it Outpost. I don't know why. The Outpost is where Dennis works, I think, right? Because I keep wanting to call this the Outpost. I don't know why.
Yes, it's a little outpost where Dennis works. Yeah, this is called
the
perimeter.
Perimeter
of this
is this village, and I keep wanting to call it Outpost. But so this is where the perimeter is attacked because of the asshole. Lack of a better word, that wanted to take over from Indira, that thinks he knows what's best, which obviously he realizes maybe he does not in this episode because it does not go well for him. I think it's cool to finally get to see, like, I think that whole battle is pretty cool. Like, I like that they finally fought back, I guess, is what I'm saying. I also think, if we talk about acting-wise, I think that the beginning scene, because I was rewatching it when I was fixing the interview, which is up now with Anna, who plays Indira. But I think that the whole, that first scene, like, I don't know if it's the first scene, but the scene with Jelani coming in and, like, that their son is dead and, like, not even having
with
to
Will.
Really say
the
anything.
Scene Will. The scene
with
where Will comes in.
Yeah, just he doesn't even really have to tell them what's wrong. Just the look on his face, I think that that scene with just him walking in and, like, the look on his face and the looks on their face, I think that scene was done well between the actors. I like that scene.
Well, if you read the interview on the website with Jelani Alagdin, who plays Will, he said that the only line that's written in the script is, "Indira, I'm sorry," and then, like, the whole rest of everything that is seen is just the actors, like, you know, emoting their faces, their actions, their walking around, their whatever. There might be some other few words spoken, I don't know, but they weren't in the script. It's well done. I definitely, like, struggled a little bit when I was watching it. Like, it's like, gee, why is Will so upset? He just met Dev, like, 3 days ago, right? Or, like, a week ago or whatever. Like, he's so moved by the death of this kid. And then, like, you have to wait till the next scene where, you know, Will, I mean, as I watch him, like, okay, he's got to tell a mother her son is dead, so that's pretty bad. So that's one reason why he looks so shell-shocked. But, you know, he goes on to
responsible a little bit too, because they took them in, you know, and
and I mean, if you read the interview, there is a bunch of reasons why the actor So I thought, I mean, and you read it, and but did you think, as you watched it, did you think, like I did, that he was going to die, that Will was surely dead in this episode?
Oh,
like the
yeah,
whole episode, I was like, dude, you're dead.
Yeah.
You just told someone
yeah,
you can't wait to have babies with your husband. You're definitely getting killed in this episode.
you can't look to the future and have hope and be moral. Or you're dead. You know, I will say that is one thing about this show does not kill as many people. I don't know if it's because it's based around younger cast that they don't kill as many people. I don't know that it necessarily bothers me they don't either. I mean, they don't have, like, that shock value that the other show seems to always go for. I don't know. It's different. I think it's strange sometimes that they don't kill as many people on this show. But it doesn't... I don't feel like it necessarily needs more people to die. Like, I haven't felt like that watching it. But yeah,
I kind of thought
that there was a chance he was not going to. Actually, I thought the episode before, when he was giving him the gun, I thought he was going to, I don't know why, but I thought for a second that Dev was going to shoot him. Like, that he had somehow, I don't know where that came from, but in my mind, that was what I was thinking when I first started watching it, that he was actually going to shoot him when he was, you know, showing him the gun. But, yeah, you knew something was going down.
Well, Jamie, that World Beyond has a smaller core cast than either of the other two shows. Like, on Walking Dead, could they please kill some
so
people on Walking
people.
Dead? My God.
There's way too many red shirts.
And Fear also has a lot of people who probably should be dead. The fact that you can have, like, main characters who are not seen for, like, almost an entire season. World Beyond has a smaller cast of main characters, but I would expect some people to die as we move into the final two episodes. I thought it was generally pretty exciting, and as you talked about, I mean, the pacing is so much better because this show has an end game and knows where it's going and isn't just treading water, but, like, there was a lot of, like, tense that... So this is the episode... Is this the episode where they lock themselves in the biocontainment, or was that last week, where Leo and the scientist, there's an evacuation, like Polly McIntosh, Jadis is like, okay, let's trick them, let's evacuate, and then anybody who doesn't evacuate we know is in on the plan, but Leo and the girl
that's
smarting,
Jadis,
it's not the next one, I haven't watched anything ahead.
But okay, you haven't, then this has to be 8 then, yeah.
I haven't watched AMC Plus. So they've already planned ahead, and they lock themselves in the biocontainment room and tunnel, like, dig out into some tunnels underground Jadis is trying to, like, you know.
Pretty smart.
I thought that was pretty smart and pretty well
done. Well, they're scientists. They're allowed to be smart. But, yeah.
And I totally fell – so AJ would never fall for this, but I totally fell for it when Hope is like, you guys go, I'll be right back. And I'm like, oh, she's running to get that boy she has a crush on. This is not going to go well. And then it turns out that she actually was very smart and kidnaps him because he's a general's son, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I fell for that, too. I think because we're used to these shows, the people doing dumb stuff. I have to admit, I think we're used to them making dumb choices. But no, in this show, they're smarter, and I agree. I thought she was going to do it too, and I really thought that she was gonna
blow everything.
be like, you have to come with us or anything. Although I do feel like through a lot of it, I felt like maybe they should have told him what was going on. I don't know that it would help, but I don't know. Like he doesn't even know what the hell is going on. He's not his father, and I'm not saying that he wouldn't do the same thing as his father, but I just kind of wonder at a few different points if, like, maybe they should have gotten him in on the plan, what would have happened.
You can't trust him because his father's a general. I think he's going to die. I think that kid will die because Hope says to him in this episode, Hope says, no one's going to hurt you, I promise. So I'm like, she's on your death warrant. But I thought all that was kind of well done. And I liked the part, so when Brody betrays Indira, that little weasel, and comes to Jadis and is going to, like, sell
and
out Indira and
the
people.
We're going to save him. Yeah.
I am. What a dumbass. But I kind of love, I mean, so I shouldn't say I love people getting shot in the head, but that was kind of awesome when Huck, such quick thinking, on Huck's part to just kill him.
Let him say things. Yeah, he's like, you'll give me what I want or I'll tell on you. She's like, that ain't happening.
Well,
yeah,
and then she quickly thought up a good story to tell Jadis, right? I mean, to me, if there's a flaw in the storyline, it's Jadis. First of all, she's so horrible and annoying, and I really want her to get killed because she's so awful.
Yeah, I think she makes such a good villain. No, like, I don't like Jadis. I mean, I like her because I don't like her, but you're supposed to not like her. You know what I mean? Like, I liked her before, and I'm like, she's so evil. She's so changed.
She is.
I still like it. Kind of, I believe it, though, because especially how she basically says a lot of what happened before was total bullshit. Like, when she had that scene before, and that's why I'd asked about it, when she's, like, saying, oh, that was all theater, like, she wanted her people to live, but she totally pivots. I think that...
I mean, I hated her more on Walking Dead.
In a way, but smarter, maybe.
I mean, I hated her on Walking Dead because she lived in a trash heap and spoke pidgin English. The pidgin English was the most stupid thing, maybe, that entire season of Walking Dead. But anyway, I mean, she's so horrible, and you're right, you're supposed to not like her. But what I don't, I mean, if I have a quibble with the storyline, it's that it's not believable to me that Kublak would leave, disappear for some reason, and that she puts Jadis in charge, who, like, Jadis is, I mean, like, it's a little bit weak to me, the reasoning. Now, maybe Jadis is lying, but the reasoning that Kublak had to go somewhere, and so she puts Jadis in charge of a security audit. And with all this shit going down, that Kublak hasn't appeared, like I don't know what's up with that.
You say that, and it kind of don't make sense. I don't think
it's
she's
either,
dead, but I'm curious where she's at, because it is kind of strange.
It's either bad writing as an excuse to bring Jadis back, or Jadis is lying and it's bad writing because Jadis is a bad liar, and we're going to find out there's more here. There's more to be told.
Let me ask you a question, though, because and this may tie into the next episode, but I don't think it's really a spoiler, because there's one thing I was curious about that I wanted to know how you thought, because I thought, and maybe I misunderstood it, but whenever Dev gets killed, I had thought that was caused by what Brody did. Did you take it that way, or did I totally not get that right? Because I didn't understand why he was shot and why the soldiers were there. I was confused by that, and I thought, well, he must have that. I, before I seen this episode, had thought, because I even said this to Anna, I had thought, like, he had told on them that they were going to be there, and that's why they were there to shoot him. But I don't think that's the case. So I don't quite understand why they were there and shot Dev. But it sounds
Brody,
like...
I'm pretty sure that guy's name was Brody, had not yet gone to Jadis.
You're right, he didn't.
When
but I was
killed.
Thinking that before I'd seen this episode. So I guess I don't understand why he got killed. Was he just going to get her? Like, I don't get what he was doing, they were there.
Because
they shot.
I believe it's because they were outside the perimeter approaching. They were outside the perimeter approaching the CRM, like, border line, and got into a skirmish with the guards, I think, is all that happened there. I can't really remember.
Okay, that's
because
I wasn't sure where exactly they were supposed to be. That's where I was a little confused. They were past the perimeter. Yeah. That makes sense. I didn't quite get where they were. Because if you're going
to
get medicine, why does Kublak not just tell them she's getting, I don't know.
Well, because Kublak is giving a limited resource to someone who's outside the CRM and refuses to join the CRM.
In this episode, we see her talk to Indira, right? Sorry, I just want to ask you something.
That was a flashback in this
I kind of had a problem with that. I guess that it was supposed to show that Kublak isn't, I guess, all horrible. But I felt like
I'm
trying to humanize her. Like, it didn't feel... Like, it felt fake to me. Like, why is she being nice to this woman and giving her the medicine when she doesn't need to? Like, that's what I kept thinking. Like, she's doing something out of the kindness of her heart, and I don't understand why.
No. She didn't do it out of the kindness of her heart. She did it to exert control over these people out there. It was not, first of all, I agree with you. So I think we could have gotten by without that flashback. We know that Indira made a deal with Kublik and gets the dialysis, and that's all we need to know. But that wasn't to show her being nice, really. I guess that's true. She was being nice.
But maybe
she was only being nice.
She was only being nice
in as much as it gives her leverage over Indira and the people at the perimeter, and it suited her. I mean, that, I think, was the point of that.
But I guess her act of nice seemed, I don't know, fake. I guess it was supposed to. But that's what I was thinking when she did it. She's fake.
She's lying. She's a gigantic liar. She's an enormous liar, this woman. It's well established that she's a horrible liar. I mean, not a horrible liar. She's a good liar. She's a horrible person who lies all the time. That's what that was about. I mean, I was trying to say before, the part about Dev's death, I don't really remember so much about how he was killed in that episode because up until that moment, so Dev is a minor character who we don't know that much about and who's not in it that much. And it just appeared to be the death of a minor character at the time. So I was like, it didn't really stick in my mind what they were doing or why. Later turns out that it's like this moment that really affects Will. It's an important moment for Will when he dies is really the important part there. So I couldn't really explain to you that well because I didn't really pay attention that much because it didn't seem to be important at the time, right?
Yeah, I just remember him getting shot on Will. He got shot while Will was standing there. That's what I was the shock moment.
I mean, it's really huge for Will, right? It causes Will to take action. I mean, it's really according to Solani Allen and the actor, it's this moment that Will, that interview was interesting because in the interview, he says he believes this is not in Will's character so we get to the point where the serum is going to shoot everyone in the perimeter, right? And Will jumps out with a gun and starts a gunfight. And so
I thought that was interesting how he didn't think he was taking risks and he...
He thinks it's really not in Will's character to take risks, that we've seen him be a guy who doesn't take risks, who's always not that he's a coward, but he's always trying to figure out a way they can do it, whatever they need to do and not get killed doing so.
Right.
And then it's Dev's death that kind of causes him to do this selfless thing and start this gunfight. Yes, and I thought the gunfight was pretty good.
Yeah, I agree.
It was a pretty good Western style. I mean, of all the shows, this is the one that's not a Western, but it was pretty Western-y the way they had that shootout. It was a good old-fashioned Western shootout, kind of.
Okay, I was looking to make sure. So I think it was interesting, too, how they had Dennis and Silas, they kind of ended up in the mix, they timed it.
Oh, yeah.
And not that they did it on purpose, but it ended up timed that they showed up right at the right time, which I thought was really cool, too, and how that kind of worked out. Poor Dennis. I feel bad for Dennis, though. I don't know.
Poor Dennis,
Dennis has been trying to help, but Dennis just kind of gets the stick every time, I feel like.
And I
feel sad, too, sometimes because he's trying to help Silas, and Silas has kind of gotten him into things. Not that Silas, I think, ever wanted to hurt him. I don't – obviously, he didn't. But,
No, but, if anyone's gotten him into things, Jennifer. It's Jennifer. Silas is not to blame for that. It's Jennifer who's gotten him into things.
No, he's not to blame. I just mean,
And he'll do anything for Jennifer.
Kind of pulled him into
Dennis will do anything for Jennifer. She's gotten him into it. But, yeah, so, I mean, I guess if I had really thought about it, I'm not surprised. I mean, he's not dead at the end of the episode, but I won't be surprised if he dies. I feel his death is a price that Huck is going to have to pay for going against the CRM, probably. Not literally, but figuratively, right?
Yeah, I can see that.
I won't be surprised if he dies in the end.
Well, but he's a good guy,
like,
too. He seems like one of those ones that he's trying to help people, and it just doesn't always work out that way, you know, the way things are going.
Yeah.
It seems like that could happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I agree. Excuse me. Sorry. Same thing, though. Like, Will, I mean, it's kind of like the same thing. Like, Will took the risk, and you kind of thought that him doing that was going to cause his death, and then it didn't. So,
no, it was a good fake out.
I was trying to think. I know you had said in the interview that the bullet didn't hit. Was that the bullet that Dennis got hit by? Or am I mixing
it
up?
I was figuring when I said that bullet, like, I thought Will was going
to
die, but in the end, the bullet hit someone else.
Dennis got shot. I couldn't remember how he
I don't know
shot
who shot him. He just got shot by the CRM or whoever. I don't know.
Got shot by one of the bad guys.
Yeah. I mean, it was generally a pretty okay episode. The show is not without its flaws.
Right.
But
there's a lot of... Oh, excuse me. Jeez, I'm tired. I think it's Eternals that made me tired. No, I'm kidding. But there's a lot of action. A lot happening. Moving forward a lot.
I'm actually kind of interested to see what happens.
So am I.
And I kind of care about these people a little bit, more so than most other people on the other two shows.
Yeah, and definitely more than you did last year, because you were complaining a lot last year about this.
I really thought it was not a good show last year, but it really has found its feet this year, I think. They're still a little bit, like, they don't know what to do with Elton. Elton hasn't really had a storyline except for kind of liking this girl. I was waiting for them to hold hands when they were going to get shot, and I was like, really, they're going to touch pinkies? Could they just hold hands? he hasn't, like, they don't know what to do with Elton. They haven't really gotten him involved. I hope he'll get some action in these last two. It's not a perfect show, but it's so much better than the other two right now. And yeah, so last year I hated it and kept saying I wasn't keep watching it. And so I'm kind of glad I did, because
it's better
than the other two. They should make these guys the showrunners for Fear.
Yeah, I agree.
See if they can fix it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
All right,
so two more weeks. Have you already watched next week's episode?
I've watched
because it's on AMC.
It's
already on AMC Plus.
It's on AMC Plus. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it when it came out. I was... And that's it, too. Like, usually you don't necessarily, but, like, I didn't even have an interview. Like, I want to know what happened. So I watched it. I'm like, I'm going to find out. I do now potentially have interviews coming up for next week. But that's beside the fact. I watched it because I wanted to watch it. But that was one thing I was going to say, though, is I think next week they're having there's going to be a press day, so there'll be some more interviews with some of the cast, because I know I was supposed to talk to Nico yesterday, and they had to reschedule, so that didn't happen. Nico
Tortorella, is that his name? Who plays Felix,
yeah. But he's going to be involved in the press day. I don't know if I'm going to get to talk to him alone or not, I don't think, because they had to reschedule things. But it's the last couple episodes. Obviously, things are moving, and it's going to come. I mean, I haven't seen the end yet. I don't know yet what happens, the whole ending. I just saw the next one on AMC Plus. But some stuff happens.
I don't really like. I don't like to watch ahead if I don't have a reason to.
Well,
so.
I've kind of had to, and you did a couple times because of the interview. But I just don't want to see.
Yeah.
But, you know, I will say, I like. They have to learn to talk around things. I don't know if you read Anna's interview, but I had asked her what happened in the end, and she's like, "There's some people that maybe will be together physically that weren't before, or maybe not." She's like, "That's
not true."
I left it in though because I thought it was funny. I always like the way that people learn to talk around things, because they can't say anything, but, you know, they try.
if I watch a show a whole week ahead, I'll have to rewatch it before this podcast to remember what happened. So
it gets confusing. It does. Anyhow. But it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. I guess that's it for the episode then. All right, that's so it. What do we have? I'm going to close out of this. God, I can't believe it's almost Thanksgiving. So I was just thinking, I have these open, thinking tomorrow or Thursday, it's almost Thursday. Okay, so what do we have left? Wheel of Time, is that it?
And 4,400.
Well,
4,400. Okay, well, let's do, why don't we do 4,400 first, since we usually do 4,400, unless you guys want to do Wheel of Time first.
No, that's fine.
No, that's fine. Go ahead, AJ, why don't you lead off on 4,400? yeah.
So
you have no words, only
more
five.
Of the same. I mean, we learn a little more about Keisha and get some of her backstory, kind of see why she is the way she is. You know, I mean, I appreciate the fact that she kind of becoming more of an ally for the 4,400, she, you know, she gets them out of the bar after the bar, you know, during the bar fight, doesn't rat them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my biggest problem still is the same problems I have every week. Everybody is just way too comfortable being in the future, you know? What's her face there? She's learning, you know, she's driving a car. You know, it's funny because Artie's like, how is she driving a car? I'm like, he's like, she's in the 50s. I was like, okay, they had cars in the 50s. He's like, yeah, but
yeah,
they're a lot different now. I'm like,
that's
still,
what I thought.
But it's still, you know, but you know, but that's, you know, it's not, I mean, I think he's being a little over technical with it, but he's not wrong either. You know, like these people are just, you know, anybody from like the 80s forward, maybe kind of, you know, I can kind of understand them kind of being cool with it, but anybody pre 80s,
should be,
yeah, they had movies about aliens and, you know, they had the movies about aliens and abductions and everything, but the lack of being, you know, weirded out by this
kind of
is
Sleepy Hollow.
A really big
problem.
I always
think of that.
Something else that we talk about every week, and that is, what is this? What is the story they're trying to tell here? Is the main story about the 4,400 and the sci-fi aspect of it, or is the story about how there's a bunch of really shitty white people on this show? And I'm not, you know, I already know how this is going to sound, but I'm going to say it anyway. And not that it's wrong, because we live in a world right now where shit is fucked up.
White people, yeah.
Shit is fucked up in this world, and it's just, I feel like that's the entire point of this show. You've got, you know, the two white guards that are complete assholes. You got the white guy in the bar that starts the mess with, you know, the bar fight. You know, the FBI guy or CIA, whatever the heck he is, who's being all Mr. Nicey Nice Guy, and turns out they got trackers on all the 4,400. You know, it just seems like everybody in the show that isn't a 4,400 is an evil white person. And I get it. I know the world we're living in right now. Honestly, I feel like the world is in worse shape now than it was 10 years ago. You know, and I get it.
Yeah.
But what
we
is the show
quite
about?
Need it shoved down our throats.
It is, and that's the problem. Yeah. It's literally being shoved down our throats. Are we watching a show about the oppression in this country right now? Or are we watching a show about 4,400 people that magically got zoomed to, you know, to 2021. You got to pick one or the other. You can have the one of them can be in the background and part of it, but you got to pick a side. And I just feel like the oppression is being shoved down our throats more so than it needs to be.
And there's something I want to ask too that I think of when I watch this. I wonder too is it. I'm trying to think of the way it says because I don't want to say it the right way, but isn't there more? I mean, it seems to me that, like, there would be more white people there too. Like, they're not showing us the rest of the group. They're only showing us the ones that are oppressed. And again, I guess they're giving that message, but I've kind of wondered, like, it wasn't like from one area they took the people or anything. Like, it's not, do you know what I mean? Like, it does seem like they're focusing on strictly that, and the other people kind of
right, which
don't
is fine.
See. I mean, there's got to be other people. Yeah, it's okay. It's,
yeah, I mean,
there are
there's
other
been
people.
White people
it's been
in the
established,
background.
It's been established that there are multiple centers around the country where the 4,400 had to be split up and taken different places
right.
because there's so many of them, and we're only focusing on the Detroit group. It does appear that it does almost appear, well, I mean, so Mildred is white, right? We haven't seen
white,
two episodes because she got taken away, but, I mean, it's not a whole.
No, the two white people got, the two white characters got taken away.
The two white people.
No, you're
right.
He did. The two white people got taken away. So, I mean, I agree with you, AJ, that they're very slow to address what the show is really about, which is people traveled through time and came back with powers. And the powers are being very, very, are very, very limited. They're very slow to get into them. And nobody seems at all shocked or scared by having a power, right? Like, one thing, again, I know you always tell me don't compare it to the original show, but on the original show, these people were freaked out by having powers, which is the appropriate response, I think, right?
Absolutely.
And these people act like, you know how they act when they describe, like when the woman from the South, who can, her name is, I'm going to call her Shanice, and that's not her name. The woman who
no,
was
Shanice
the activist
the
in
one.
The one who heals?
The one who can heal, yeah. And the one and Mildred who can like do things with her mind. I feel like the way they act when they discover their powers is the way. Did you ever see the movie Shazam, where Shazam is like 14 years old and finds out he has powers and is like, woohoo, let me do all this stupid 14-year-old shit with my powers. And that's kind of, I feel like these people are reacting in like a similar way, and they're not appropriately like, there is a line in this episode where, so the main, the parole officer, that's Shanice, right? Her name is Shanice?
Yeah. And you know what? I did not realize the longest
what's
time.
What's her name?
No, that's Keisha.
Not her name.
Keisha.
Parole
I did not
Keisha.
For the longest time realize that was Keisha. Am I just stupid? Because she looks so different. I'm like, is that Keisha? Like, it took me a while to finally realize who the flashback was of.
Yeah.
Because they changed her so much. I'm like, oh, that makes more sense. Like, I thought maybe, but I really wasn't sure for a while.
Right. Yeah. But there's a line where I think it's Keisha, it could be Jarrell, says, like, the world has gotten a lot. They're talking to LaDonna, who disappeared, like, in the 90s, right? Or she's only been gone a few years. She was on a reality TV show, so she's not been gone that long.
Yeah, she was.
She's,
yeah,
like, from the 90s,
she's like three.
I think.
Yeah, it's been
three
or four
years
for
or
her.
Something?
Yeah, three
I
or
think
four years.
Her, But one of these characters says, like, the world has gotten a lot worse. Like, America's gotten a lot worse since you've been gone in a lot of ways.
That was...
And
that was, oh, crap, what's her name? The Muslim woman.
Oh, yeah, the IT woman whose name is, yeah, they all start with an S. Her name starts with an S also. Shariah? Something like that, right?
Anyway.
She makes a remark about how things have gotten a lot worse. And, I mean, she's right. Like we have Homeland Security has put surveillance on them. And I actually – so one thing that really struck me as odd in this episode was when the 4,400 are going to be released into the community and they say we're vetting housing options. Like, these people are grown adults with rights and they're, like, vetting housing options as though they're people being released from prison – who can't be allowed to associate with the wrong kind of people or something. I was really, like, I was like, what is going on with this? It obviously was just an excuse to have them come to the husband's house, you know, the husband
yeah.
who has the, who has,
Logan.
Who's married to another, Logan. But, yeah, there's some interesting hints here, but I think AJ's point is well taken, that the writers are way too interested in holding a mirror up to our current society, not that that's not warranted, I actually think a far Manifest has a lot of flaws, but one of the things Manifest did pretty decently in the first season was, like, show how, like, shady the government is about all this and how the government could be trusted and the government was tracking them and experimenting on the passengers and stuff like that. And it's a similar situation. These people traveled through time and came back and had lost 5 years, right? And nobody knew if it was aliens or time travel or whatever. They handled it and then got on with the show on Manifest. They're a little too – they're also very, like – in this episode, I was like, okay, really, they're going to a Pride Festival now? Like, they happened to break out and escape on the day that was Pride, and they go to Pride, and there's this character from the 20s who, to AJ's point, is taking this, like, pretty much in stride, right? It's like, oh, this is
also
fantastic. It's great, but
she also seemed confused at what a Pride parade is. They had Pride 6 years ago. I was kind of like, why is she confused what Pride is?
She's been missing 16 years.
She's been missing 16 years, Jamie.
No, she's been 6 years. I thought it was 6 years.
16.
Her daughter.
She has a 6-year-old daughter.
It's that other girl that's been gone 6 years, huh?
You know, it's okay, Jamie. I'll be honest.
That makes sense.
It's hard keeping track of who's been from where and how long because they haven't really.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless they don't establish these things very well.
No, but you're right. You're right. That's why that makes more sense to me now because I just kept thinking, why does she not know what is? I'm an idiot. Okay, but yeah, you're right. They don't explain it.
I mean, I really don't want to criticize, like, that this show is taking steps to be inclusive because we don't see a lot it's important to include different kinds of people in your shows, in your characters and in your cast, right? We've got these two, with two transgender characters already on the show, right? And then this week we had, so it turns out that Keisha's, so it's really irrelevant. Keisha's nieces happen to be deaf. It's kind of not relevant to the story, or at least one of them is deaf, right, because they're signing a lot, which is great. I mean, people have deaf people in their family, whatever, it's fine. And then they also go to a Pride Festival, and is there a part of this show that feels like they're checking boxes rather than really handling it in a way that makes a story, right? I'm not opposed to any
checking
of
boxes.
These characters or incidences, but are they like, we're going to have like the most inclusive wokest show on television and let's like, okay, now, you know, next week they're going to put in a person who uses a wheelchair and the week after that there'll be a person who is an immigrant and the week after that there'll be a person who, like, I just, like, any one of those is fine if they can write a story sensitively and make it. And I think actually with the deaf niece, they did it really well because it was just normal. It wasn't a part of the story. It wasn't a thing. It's just that her niece happens to be deaf and uses sign language. And it was done well. Whereas, you know, it's great to include trans characters and actors,
but... Yeah, it doesn't
necessarily
have to have a reason to be part of the storyline, but it's when they do it for the sake of doing it that it's a problem.
Well, but I think they're not... And I think they did it great with the kids signing, and it was just really normal in just their life. But
they did.
But then I feel like with some of these other characters, like, I hope they're going to be able to, like give... So the doctor... I feel like the doctor, Andre, to me right now feels a little bit more like a checked box than a story that's being told about a person who experienced something in the 20s and is experiencing something different now in the 100 years later, or is he going to experience the same thing 100 years later? But there's a story there, but they're not telling it, right? They're more interested in telling the story of Shanice, who almost kissed him and now is like, oh, what should I do, right?
Yeah.
Like they're just not sure what they're doing with it. I was a little bit like, I don't know. I felt like having them walk into a Pride Festival they didn't do as good a job of that as they could have.
But
unbelievable coincidence. And
this is episode 5, and the story hasn't gone anywhere.
No, we still don't know anything about, these parts of their life are not being told as well as they could be, and they're, meanwhile, not spending any time on, where do these people come from? Do they all have powers? Who has power? What can they use their powers for? Are they going to find out if the powers are not being, and again, no one's, at all, worried about having powers or whatever. We did see Keisha was a little, Keisha, she's kind of a shitty parole officer. She doesn't really believe in parole, and not just because her sister was killed and she opposes, any kind of forgiveness for this man who killed her sister. But she also really seemed to oppose the 4400 being released. And she went to, who's the young guy who was I'm too young to, the guy who plays chess?
Hayden.
She goes to see the young, Hayden. She goes to see Hayden. And she's like, I'm a parole officer. I'm all about helping people get released and restart their lives, and so I'm going to help you with that.
Yeah,
God, you're such a fucking liar. You're such a liar. First of all, you are the, we've talked every week. I'm like, she's the worst parole officer. She doesn't even believe in parole. And she's totally up the government's, I don't know. Anyway, but she did seem to, she was coming around by the end of the episode, but she kind of softened. AJ talks about the story not going anywhere. Do you guys feel like there's too much focus on Keisha and Jarell's personal stories and how they're affected by the 4400 and not actually the 4400 stories being told?
Yeah.
We know more about Keisha and Jarell than we do about any of the 4400.
Oh, my God. Why didn't I realize this before? Any show that has the word 100 in it, whether it's 100 or 4400, just stay the hell away because you're going to get aggravated.
The 100 was fantastic when it started.
Oh, actually, I'm going to segue real quick. You're going to hear a funny story. I don't know if either of you have any intention or have seen The Harder They Fall on Netflix yet. It is amazing. Really, really good.
Oh, yeah?
But in the beginning of the movie, black actor, and the entire scene, I'm like, I can't place this guy. I'm going crazy. I got to the point where I actually almost screenshotted him on my phone and sent it to the chat to see if either of you could please help me and tell me who it was, because I knew the actor. I just couldn't place him. And he's not in the credits. He's not listed in the casting, so I can't figure out who the hell he is. So finally, by the end of the movie, I just got it paused on his face. I'm staring at it, and all of a sudden, it finally hits me. It was Pike from the 100.
Pike from the 100.
Yeah. So Karen, if you get around to watching it now, you'll know who that is without going crazy like I did.
Who is that guy? Who is that guy?
It was funny.
I'll keep an eye out for him. I'll have to watch that. But anyway.
Yeah, it's really good.
Something better to watch. I think the show is maybe not going to make it. I think the show might not succeed. I mean, they're making it hard for me to get invested in the 4400.
Well, let's put it this way, give you a kind of perspective. Okay, we are 3 adults. And we talk about a certain type of show and everything. Okay. But Artie said tonight, because we watched it today, he's like, I don't know if I can keep watching this. He's like, nothing's happening. That's all right. So that right
he's
there.
He's a target audience.
He's 14, but it's a CW
really
show.
Young. Yeah.
Yeah. CW show, and even, he too, he gets the whole what they're trying to do with the inclusion and being woke and everything. But so somebody that's growing up in that culture is sitting here going, are we watching?
Yeah.
See, the thing is, the inclusion is great, but it needs a plot with it.
That's the problem.
Yeah, well, and that's the problem. And that's the problem. I feel like a lot of what is happening, it's happening for the sake, like Karen says, checking off boxes. It's happening for the sake of being there. Any relevance to the actual story. Like, all right, I'm going to do what I didn't want to do, but the original 4400 was very evenly distributed between characters. You know what I mean? There wasn't any one-sided, you know, and it wasn't done for the sake of including anybody. They were just there for the story. This is the exact opposite. The story seems to be there for the inclusion. That's, you know what I mean? It's just, it's not working for me in this direction. And five episodes in, and there's really nothing's changed. Nothing has happened at all.
I'm interested in certain pieces, but not, it doesn't move fast enough because they keep, you know, like there's hints of it, but it doesn't have enough of the plot.
Right.
Less, bring in more sci-fi, less of what they're doing.
So, I mean, yeah, and one critical difference is that in the original 4400, they get out of the hotel, or of the, it's not a hotel, it's like a facility. They get out of it in the first episode, like in the end of the first episode and in the second episode. They're being released back into the community. And so we see so much more of them, like, trying to find their families, trying to get jobs, trying to get houses, trying to, like, get their life together, like, trying to, like, do whatever, right? We've seen nobody have any type of family whatsoever except for Shanice, right?
And a tiny bit
the
younger girl, the reality star, tiny bit.
LaDonna? No one's come
really...
for LaDonna. No one has come for LaDonna.
No,
her
said,
mother.
I thought it about her family. I meant they showed a little bit about her family.
Yeah. But
not
she
that
hasn't,
it was a good
like,
family or
I mean,
they came for her, but...
We saw a flashback, but in the original 4400, we saw people immediately trying to reintegrate with their family. I mean, some of them had only been gone for a year or 3 years or even like 10 years,
mm-hmm.
right? And we saw them immediately try to, you know, and there was in the first episode, there's that guy who like he's lost his job and his wife is in the nursing home and can't remember him. Like, we haven't seen any kind of anyone, like, they very conveniently gave us characters whose entire family, one's from the 1920s, one's from the 1950s, one's from the 70s, like, so, what's her name? Mildred was a teenager in the 70s, her parents could reasonably be dead by now, right? Maybe. I was a teenager in the 80s and my parents are 90, so Millicent's parents, whatever. We conveniently don't only have a very few characters who have any connection to the modern world. And we're not seeing them struggle like everyone got a phone this week and everyone's fine with that.
Like how would they not know they're going to track them? I mean, the 4400 maybe you wouldn't know because they're not from now, but like it was so obvious they were going to track
LaDonna would know. But I mean, three years ago we all knew. But I guess like AJ. We've spent 5 weeks now, five episodes of them being in a hotel, being in a hotel room, being in a hotel ballroom, right? Like, yeah, it's not that interesting. Nothing's really happening except, like we're exploring.
The other thing that I find strange is, do you find it strange that, okay, what's her name? I already forgot her name. The one who has the family. Do you find it strange that they're taking the kid because they didn't even want to take her and they're like, well, she ain't going to come, so we'll just take this random kid in that we don't know. I thought that was really strange.
I mean, Shanice says that she went to them and convinced them to take in someone who needed, like, don't let them go
honestly,
away to take in someone who needs a place to live.
Honestly, that makes more sense than Shanice going there, to be perfectly honest, because...
That was a terrible idea.
Yeah, that would not...
The idea of Josh and his two wives under the same roof, that was just aching for disaster.
For the new wife, Bridget to be like, yeah, it's fine, was a little, the whole thing. So in the original 4400, that's Lily's storyline, right? And Lily goes to the house, and the husband's like, no, get out of here. You can't be in here. You got to go. And she's basically, like, homeless, right? Until she hooks up right away with Mahershala Ali's character. But, I mean, we haven't, like...
And that's a perfect example right there. Mahershala Ali's character is constantly amazed by everything and taken aback by stuff throughout the whole first season. Whereas, and he was from about the 50s also, wasn't he, I believe?
50s, He was in the Korean War when he was taken.
Whereas Claudette...
Nobody in this show is interested in technology in any way. They don't even care.
That's what I'm saying. Like whereas Claudette, she's perfectly fine, had no issues whatsoever about being in, you know... And that's the thing. I mean, and Mahershala Ali, the original show was in 2004, which you think, okay, that's only, 17 years from now, but a lot has changed in the past 17 years where even I can't believe some of the shit technology is doing,
Yeah,
and I grew up through all this. So somebody from the 40s or the 50s who's just like, whatever.
Well, because Mahershala Ali's character in the original 4100, him and some other characters, not only marveled at technology, but at the racial, like they established very early the racial discrimination he experienced, in the 50s, and he expressed a lot of wonder at the improvements and not improvements in 2004, right? I mean, I don't think we've seen anybody really properly have their mind blown that there was a black president while they were gone.
They mentioned
right?
it, but they didn't do a good job.
It might be kind of hard for them to marvel at that when they're being held against their will.
I mean, they're and that's something that maybe some of them wouldn't be surprised at. But I guess if you're going to keep them in this hotel ballroom, then the show could have done a better job of like examining some of the issues with the government, like other than just white asshole guards, like really. So at the end of this episode, we see that Homeland Security guy's been put in charge and he's terrible, which look in 2004 in 2004, there were two Homeland Security guard officers, agents in charge from the jump, and they were very good people really mostly. Right. I mean, we had Tom was the one whose nephew had been taken, and what's her name? I forget. But
and they were more like liaisons. They were liaisons between Homeland Security and the 4400. Whereas this is it's very different dynamic.
Okay. So 4400 was. I mean, make no mistake. It was absolutely a post 2001, a post 9/11 show, right? It was absolutely a post 9/11 show, and Homeland Security was an agency in its infancy, and this show was perhaps a somewhat sympathetic portrayal of Homeland Security. 17 years later, like ain't nobody making a show where Homeland Security looks good nowadays, right? But so we got our big evil government guy at the end of this episode. Keisha's girlfriend is out and another evil man is in.
Why did he go into the hospital? Because that's the one thing I just did want to mention, because I didn't realize
the
first where they said she was going. I didn't realize at first where they said she was going until
who's she?
The other ones
who's
mentioned
she?
Keisha's girlfriend. Then if you pay attention after whenever the ones say they're going to get, now I forgot his name. I had his name in my head a second ago. The one that was punched that they took to the hospital. When they said the name of it, that's where...
Noah
and Mildred is there also.
Okay, well, when they said the name of it, whatever med, that's where Keisha's girlfriend was going, because I recognize they said the same name. Whatever they said they
it's
were going to get him out.
Yeah.
It's
short for, it's short for, what is it, in Detroit it's called Ypsilanti Hospital, I think, and they call it Ipsy for short.
I don't know, but why is she transferred to the hospital? I don't understand what
she's
supposed
to do. Because a whole bunch of 4400 are being held prisoner in the hospital. She's being transferred to 4400 lockup.
I guess, but I don't know that they actually plan to have her do anything, or it's more for show because they transferred her out.
I don't know.
I was just thinking about it. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Bottom line
here.
She's
transferred so they can put an evil man in there, but she's being transferred because there's 4,400 being held in the hospital.
Right. Just for...
No, yeah, I got that. I just meant I'm curious what they expect her to do there.
Yeah.
But that might be the point.
Oh,
nothing. They don't.
This show is not interested in...
Yeah, so I just... Yeah, so I just... Now that I've complained about everything, I just want to point out that I don't have a problem with any of the inclusion or anything. It's just my major problem is the story, whichever story it is we're supposed to be watching, isn't going anywhere. And that's the thing. I mean, if they get to the sci-fi part, then yes, this is the show I want. I want to watch a sci-fi show. If their point is the racism and, you know, the oppression, that's not a show that I'm interested in watching. I can turn on the news if I want to see that. So they need to make a decision, you know, on what they're showing us.
That could be a good show. That could be a good show, but not on the CW, right? I mean, that's not a CW show.
Well,
that's true.
Like, you want to write a show about people being, like, held against their will, who've done nothing wrong, and racist guards are being assholes. Yes, you can watch the news. But that could be a good show on HBO, right?
Yeah, and just don't make it a remake of a show like 4400.
That's not the 4400. Like,
right.
Right? Like we signed on for a youth-focused time travel superpower show.
And this is the same problem. This is the same problem a lot of shows do. Any reboot, they take the name, the show is very not like the original show, which whatever it is, whether it's the 4400 or any other remake. And I always feel like they would have been better off just picking a different name because all people are going to do is compare it to the original, which they either loved or hated. And that's unfortunately exactly what we're doing now because this show isn't giving us anything at all. Like, 5 episodes, nothing has really happened.
Yeah, really, nothing's happened. So one girl cut her hand and it healed by itself, and that was, like, pretty much all that's happened, right? Oh, and Mildred moved
and
shit with
her
mind.
And speaking of nothing happening,
not that much.
We're kind of going, we're just saying the same things over and over again, so we might want to move on to our next show.
Yes, you're right. We're not saying anything about the show that we haven't said in the first 5 minutes of covering it, so... Good point, AJ.
So,
good looking out. Let's move on.
All right. So, Wheel of Time. I think we should hear from Karen first.
Okay.
Because
good.
So, wait. AJ said let's hear from Karen first, and Jamie goes, no, wait. Jamie goes, okay. Jamie.
Honestly,
Jamie's got it bottled up in her.
Dry. I need to go fix it. That was why I said that to Drew.
You guys know, because I texted you.
No,
I think
that's
this
why you go
show
first.
Is so, so, so boring. I watched the first 2 episodes. I fell asleep in episode 2. I woke up and watched episode 3. Then I went back and watched all 3 episodes over again just to make sure it was actually boring and I wasn't just having a bad night or whatever.
I hated it, so I'm going to go back and rewatch it and make sure.
Yes, I went back and rewatched it to make sure
so
I actually hated
it.
Because sometimes I hate a show and people are like, no, it's good. Like Battlestar Galactica, I watched freaking 5 seasons of it just to prove that it sucked. I think Wheel of Time is really boring, really boring. I think nothing really happened in the first 3 episodes that I haven't seen in other shows. I'm getting a real... I feel like I've seen this before, and it was called Lord of the Rings.
Thank you. Karen, you're awesome.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Right? I feel like it's Lord of the Rings, but not as good. Like, it's a bunch of people who didn't know each other on a quest together, and one of them is the chosen one.
It's so funny you say that, because everything I have read I haven't read any articles because I, you know, but any headlines I've seen has always is comparing it to Game of Thrones. Everything's comparing
yeah,
it to Game of Thrones.
I don't understand.
It's because of the time period.
It's
because of the time period. And I said to Artie while we were watching it, I was like, I don't get a Game of Thrones vibe from this at all. I said, this feels much more like Lord of the Rings, except these people just aren't walking in circles.
Yeah.
And I think,
yeah.
I think, I agree, Karen, it is kind of boring. Well, see, I don't think Lord of the Rings is good.
Oh, I like Lord.
See,
I mean,
I feel
love,
like...
What about the books? You don't love the books?
Oh, I love the books, not the movies. I think the problem with this is the same problem with the Lord of the Ring movies are boring. They're extremely boring. And I think the biggest problem is because Tolkien's writing gives you so much more that you can't adapt. I mean, you can adapt anything you want, but a good adaptation, something like that, is so massive that it never truly captures the magic of the book. And I haven't read Wheel of Time, but I feel like we're going to have this. It's going to be that same type of problem because it's taking too long to get to the meat of it, you know? And it definitely
yeah.
is. It's definitely, I mean, this the writer, I mean, it was clearly inspired by Lord of the Rings. I mean, I think that's completely obvious that he's inspired by it.
Well,
you know, and it's funny because they're comparing it to Game of Thrones, which this guy was writing probably about the same time that Martin started Game of Thrones. So, it's you know, comparing the two, I think, is ridiculous. They're two totally different type of things. Lord of the Rings, yes, absolutely. I can see it being... You know, and it feels very, it was written in the 80s. It feels very 80s in the way they're producing it. It has that 80s medieval time feel to it, which isn't a bad thing.
It does.
It's just I feel like, and you know what my biggest problem is, though? Rand, okay? I keep getting pulled out of the show because he is very distracting because he looks like Ryan Phillippe.
He does. Now that you said
he does.
That, you're right.
Oh my God, he does.
Yes.
So Jamie, I know Jamie wants to jump in here, but play on the Lord. I know you hate Lord of the Rings, Jamie.
I don't hate Lord of the Rings. I think I like Lord of the Rings. I think Lord of the Rings gets boring because it's too long, but I like Lord of the Rings overall. But what I want to ask you guys, though, because I've seen twice as much as you have, where did you guys leave off? Like, what happened? That's what I want to know because I'm careful what I'm saying.
Three.
I'm just watching.
Oh. Well, speaking
well,
of Lord of the Rings, what happens? So speaking of Lord of the Rings, what happens is they have their Rivendell moment where they camp out in a creepy place. And orcs come and attack, and the ring wraiths come and attack them at Hilltop, or at that place. They leave Rivendell. They're at that place
yeah,
called Hilltop.
You know, that's where the dark stuff killing them. Right?
Wait, hang on. So you know the scene I'm talking about, AJ, in Lord of the Rings, that I felt
yes.
like is exactly what happened. But Jamie, they're staying in that creepy weirdo magic city that everyone's like, don't go in there, you'll definitely die. And then the guy. Who is like the servant of the witch is like, no, we definitely have to go hide in this creepy city.
Lan.
Rand is the red-haired guy, right?
Lan.
Lan's like, no, we definitely have to camp out here. And then all this like scary shit happens and the horse gets turned to stone and they all jump off the cliff
well,
and then they're all separated. Yes, he is. And then separately, Jamie, the other thing that happens is it turns out there's not four people who might be the chosen one. There's actually five because the extra girl comes chasing after them.
Book. It's actually, there's another guy later. You'll find out. You might think why. I don't think it's
well, the guy in the cage.
Say that because people read the book.
The last thing we see
yeah,
is the guy in the cage claiming to be the dragon.
I will say one thing. Okay, I do like this. I have liked this, but I also saw six episodes and I also saw them all together, which obviously makes a difference. I will say that I do think that it was a lot slower until you get past that part. I liked the third episode.
with them at that building that you're comparing to Rivendell with the org.
Not to Rivendell, but to that place.
Thing moving and all that. But I feel like it started moving a lot faster once they're past it. That's my opinion. I don't know. I liked it. I mean, it's not like the best show ever, but I thought it was pretty good. Did you not like it either, AJ?
I don't hate it as deeply as Karen, but I do feel like it's very slow. I mean, I do like the fact, I actually feel like the story can get a little better now that they're all separated. I feel like now instead of one story that we're just following these six people walking along, doing the thing, now they're separated. Now they're 2, 2, and 3 because Naya Nave, she's still alive, we find out. So, you know, now we've got 3 separate stories of all of them going to the same place, but through different paths.
Yeah.
So I think that might
only make it better.
Make it. Yeah, that's
what
I'm
saying. I do see that what Karen's
Karen,
saying, though.
Karen, I think it'll make it better.
West of them trying to get there. I mean,
I think it'll make it better because,
you know, near 3 episodes is them heading there. So it's not like they're going to suddenly be there. But I don't know.
But it's 3 different stories, so that's why I think I feel it'll be better.
Yeah.
I don't hate it because it's too boring for me to hate it.
Okay.
Like, I don't hate it because it's too boring. Like, I hate Fear the Walking Dead because it pisses me off every week. I don't hate the show. It's too boring for me to hate it. Nothing really happened. Like, I also feel, not only did they just walk around for 3 episodes and not do anything, which was incredibly boring, the characters are so boring. Rand is like such a little milquetoast, boring, wussy boy. And his friend that he hangs out with, that guy who's a total dick who like steals money all the time or whatever, who's just like really not likable. Like, he's really not a likable, he's not like a lovable rogue. He's just a not likable guy. And the girls are almost indistinguishable from me because they're just like generic girls who don't really have a personality. And I just think it's boring. And I really, so 3 episodes in, I should care about these characters. I should care if they live or die. I should be interested that one of them is, I don't even know what being the chosen one means. I can't even remember what it means. I guess it's your typical chosen one story that they're going to save the world somehow in a way that I can't remember.
Essentially.
Well, that's true.
It doesn't even matter, right? Kind of every show, right, Jamie?
Ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to pick up. I just was going to ask you.
I found myself, as I watched it, I was wondering, would I like this better if I had read the books? And so 2 things. I saw some comments online. No? So the first thing is Alyssa watching from your wife, who has read the books?
She actually hasn't started watching it. I've read stuff online, and most of the book readers don't like it.
Oh,
really?
I
think it depends who you're talking to, because on Reddit, a lot of them seem to, well, some of them seem to like it, some of them seem to not like it, but a lot of the book readers,
I read some comments where some book readers felt like there's a scene where they're riding horses and they're telling some long, boring, expositionary tale about a legend about magic or some shit in their history. I can't remember. They're telling, it's a typical, very Lord of the Rings,
the
also very Game of Thrones-y.
That was an important scene.
What?
You mean the story, you mean that she tells about the story of all the people getting slaughtered?
Oh, yeah, with some boring story about some whatever. Did people get slaughtered in it? That's how boring it was. I didn't even notice that people got slaughtered. there was some legend from their... It was some legend about their past or whatever, right? And then they start singing a song. And I read a bunch of book people online were like, oh, that story, that part where they sang the song, that was so awesome. That's, like, critical of the whole thing. That's a critical... I'm like, really? That was so boring. And then some book people also like the White Cloaks, that creepy guy that ate the live bird, who really I don't like. Not only because he burned a woman at the stake and then ate a live bird, which is enough reason not to like him, but he also is just being played, and he's a very kind of smarmy, like, you just want to punch his face, right? Like,
yes, you definitely
anyway,
want to punch his face.
Those were two parts that I thought I had read that book people were kind of into, but I guess some book people think it's boring too, which they're correct. It's boring. I don't really
know.
Want to watch any more
the
of it.
Couple,
I'm going to give it up.
I didn't find it boring. But
you didn't find it boring?
No, I found it, some of them a little slow, but not boring, but which surprises me because I thought that it was something I wouldn't like. I thought you would like it more than I did because I usually
you know
like
what,
that
Jamie?
Kind of stuff. But
I was going to say, I think, I know that you're not a huge fan, you know, you didn't watch Game of Thrones, you're not a huge Lord of the Rings person, and I thought you would not like it.
Yeah, I did, though. I thought it wouldn't, too. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's not, like, the most amazing story ever, but I liked it. And I also think that it's a very well-made show. I mean, it looks awesome, and the locations are awesome looking. I mean, it's a beautiful show. I mean, that's
I mean,
they
shot it
matter.
In New Zealand,
it
right?
Plot. You have to like it. I think they kind of shot it all over. I forget.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
they shot in
exactly
Eastern. They shot
said,
part
but,
of it in Eastern Europe, right? They shot some of it in Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
They could
shot
have shot it in New Zealand.
Places.
New Zealand's been closed for like 2 years ever since COVID came around.
Yeah, I remember.
They shot it in Eastern Europe.
But yeah, I don't know. But I think it's a very nice looking show. I think it's got, like, really good production values. But that doesn't actually matter if you don't like the show. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did. I do think it starts moving a lot faster. Although I kind of like the third – wait, let me ask you a question. In the third episode, you said they get to the place with the – where you said they're already out of there, right? You said at the end they jump off the cliff. So you're
yeah, they have to run away.
Yeah.
And, they have to run away and jump off a cliff. And then they – oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Rand and Matt end up in that town – With the bartender turns
with
out to be
black,
a psycho.
Or did you that far?
Oh yeah, the bartender
chick.
Turned
oh, wait,
out to try to betray them and turn them in. Yeah. The bartender.
Okay,
the bartender. That girl is like a servant of the dragon or whatever bullshit that is, and
yeah,
she tries
no,
to turn them in, kill them.
The dark
all, right?
one.
The dark
and then,
one.
Um,
the dark one. Yeah.
Dark child or something. Dark friend.
What's his?
Yeah, okay, you're fine. I don't know.
And
I
then
thought the thing of them in that
Egwene,
place I liked. I thought that was
yeah,
better.
Egwene, Perrin, they join the traveling circus with Miss S.
With Miss S, yeah, that's
a,
what
wait,
I was
they join
about.
A traveling circus?
Why
no,
mean,
I was
really
being sarcastic. I was being facetious.
Oh,
like, what?
The people that move around all the time. I'm like,
oh, the travelers. They join the travelers. Yeah, the travelers, they're called.
Yeah.
They're not a traveling
circus.
Yeah.
Led by Mrs.
S. And then that new that other girl who was following them ends up trying to heal the witch. Tries to heal Robin.
Nynaeve. Yeah. Nynaeve.
Yeah.
And Lan.
See, I like her
and Moraine.
I like her and Lan. But I liked Nynaeve, not that I don't like Moraine, but that wasn't who I meant. I like Nynaeve and Lan, but I like them more as the story goes on. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I just felt different about this. But I have to. I think a lot of times, and that's why it's bad sometimes that I watch the screeners. I do think it makes a big difference how much you see of something and how fast you need to watch it. Because if you watch it in one sitting a lot, and that's not good. I'm just saying. I think that watching them all together and seeing like one continuous story and not having to stop in the middle makes a big difference.
All right. Well, then they should have made a movie because
then
they designed it to be episodic television. They designed it to be
either that or they should have released them all at once. They could have done
that.
That
means they didn't
too,
design it. They didn't design it to be seen that way. They designed it to be seen in a traditional television format one at a time, right?
Right.
Well, so I guess they let release three at
well,
once.
Yeah.
I don't know what they planned.
Yes, they did.
But yeah,
I mean,
I'm
whatever.
You. I'm just saying, I think that that makes a big difference, which means I think that this is a show that probably, in my opinion, would have been better to release at once.
Yeah,
because
but I mean, if
I
this was
like
a movie, if this was a movie,
like this, wanna,
you're not going to say the movie
watch all at once.
This is like a movie that
I understand what you're
until
saying.
The fourth hour.
Kind of like
Jamie,
the
I understand
boat.
What you're. I understand what you're saying, and
I was bored through the. No,
I agree.
You guys, I mean, she feels.
I agree
it,
to
like
a point. But to
yeah.
Karen, but I agree to Karen's point. You know, if you're going to make an episodic show, that you know they
oh,
don't
yeah.
know. I mean, maybe Amazon knew they were going to release all three, but guess what? They released three, and it didn't help. You saw six because
yeah.
you saw
yeah,
the screeners and everything.
This show would be. I think that this is the kind of show
that
would have done better.
But that's the thing. A show, but shows can't do that. Shows can't be like, okay, we know we're going to be really boring in the beginning, so we're going to be six episodes so people don't stop watching. Guess what? If I'm that extremely bored, I'm stopping before I get episode six anyway. Like, I'm not that I'm not that bored with this.
I could be wrong, but I feel like this is the kind of show that either you like this kind of show or you don't. But that's where I also am surprised that I do, because I really didn't think I would. So I don't know.
So
I think this is definitely a show that's polarizing.
I mean,
I don't think there's a lot of in the middle. You like it or you don't like it.
So I think you just contradicted yourself.
I'm honestly kind of in the middle, actually. I'm intrigued enough to keep watching, but I'm not loving it.
So, I mean, to say you either like this kind of show or you don't is – Jamie, you until now really don't like this kind of a show, and I really mostly do like this kind of show until this one.
No. I'm
right?
Oh my God! You guys switched bodies.
I would think that I wouldn't like this kind of show, but what I'm saying is this is a show, not a kind of show. This is a kind of
show that I think.
I'm saying most people aren't going to be where AJ is. They're going to be either like it or not like it.
Yeah.
And you can tell by this point whether you like it or not, usually, is what I'm saying.
Well,
like, I'm surprised AJ is kind of
Let's put it this way.
People are either going to watch the end or have quit by now. Let's put it that way.
I'm intrigued, but I want to like it, so I'm going to give it another episode or two. watch the whole season, and if I don't like it by the end of the season, I'm just not going to watch next season.
Yeah, I'm just going to watch next season.
Let me put it this way.
That's a long journey. I mean, it's not a quick type of story.
No, I understand that. But if I'm not caring about their journey by the end of 10 episodes or 8 episodes or whatever it is, I'm not going to keep putting myself through that. Just like the first time I watched Lord of the Rings, by the time I got to after 2 hours, I was like, there's still another hour of this?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
And you know, Jamie, to your point that you watched 6 straight hours of it, no show is meant to be consumed that way. Even when they drop all 10 episodes, even when people binge it and it's bingeable, no creator actually intends that you have to watch 6 straight hours of it before it gets good.
No, you're right. You're right.
And I can't watch a show that you just told me by hour 6 it'll be good. I've already invested 3 hours in it, right? I'm not watching it by hour 3,
but that's
I know
that's
you did.
Me.
You did.
Episode 3 was definitely a step up.
Like with the dark stuff, I thought that was when it started moving. So, if you didn't like
I guess
that,
I was,
probably I mean I don't
I
know.
Was already so
like
checked
it.
Out by then. And I was so like, oh, here comes more exposition. Let's have some more exposition to try to tell me what's going on here. I was already so checked out by then that I think that
to be fair, though,
probably
you can't have a 14-book series and not have a lot of exposition. I mean, it's one of those things. There's going to be a lot of shit. You know what I mean? They've got
I agree
a lot
with you.
To cram in there.
You can have less boring exposition.
True.
The thing about exposition is how it's delivered. There have been.
Yeah.
You know, movies and shows that deliver exposition, and you don't even realize you're getting exposition because it's done in such a great way. Then you have shows like Sleepy Hollow, where every time you knew you were getting exposition because Katrina would be on screen.
Yeah. The exposition fairy.
Let me put it this way. The best part of the viewing experience for me up to this point was when – I forget if it was one of the dream – I think it was the one dream when you see the faceless one or the eyeless one, whatever the hell they call them, and he kind of screams.
Yeah.
And Artie goes, it's Demogorgon Voldemort. That was the highlight for me, was Artie's comment.
Oh, my God. Yes, totally correct. It was a cross between them.
really is.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm done. I think I'm checked out. Too boring for me.
I mean, say.
Also, I have to make an effort and click multiple clicks on my TV to get the app to come out. It's just too much effort. It's not like Fear the Walking Dead is on my DVR, so I just watch it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I really can't see that.
Okay.
I have to watch 7 more hours of it.
Well, there isn't 7 more hours, but...
How many hours is it?
How many did you watch? Can you watch 3?
I watched 3. Is it only
there's
6?
Only, there's 8. There's only 8.
8.
Oh,
so 5
8.
More.
5 more hours.
Yeah, there's 8, right?
5
more
hours. 5 hours.
Maybe
it's okay, but you don't.
We still...
If I catch the flu and have to lay on my couch for 5 hours straight, I'll watch it.
All right.
We've got to move along, right?
Yeah, we got one more.
I know something. I was going to say I did see a couple good things this week. I was going to say this on streaming. Not that they're new. Well, the one's new. The other one isn't. Do you guys ever see? I just wanted to ask you because I really liked it. This movie. It's with Ryan Reynolds called Six Underground.
Yeah, I saw
that
when it came out. That was good. I liked that.
I liked it. It's crazy, but I like it a lot. I think it would have made a good series as opposed to a movie. I feel like they could have done a lot with that as a series.
Well, they were going to make more movies, but it didn't do very good by Netflix standards, so they're not.
Okay. That was good. And then I also saw, and this was pretty new, I think it came out a little bit ago, although you got to like, you know, love story Christmas movies, but it was good. I watched Love Hard. I really liked that. It's with Nina Dobrev in it. That's really good. I liked it. It was funny.
Oh, all right.
It was a Christmas movie, and it was a love story, but it wasn't like a sappy love story. It was pretty good. I liked it. So those were the good things to watch. Now, I know we're not going to get into details, but I want to talk a second about Eternals. AJ, you saw Eternals, right?
Wait, didn't we agree we're going to wait for me to watch it?
I just want to know if he liked it or not. I just want to know his opinion on it.
Did
you like Eternals? Me to like the middle of the movie to like it. I'll just say that. I was kind of bored at the beginning, if I'm honest. But I think it's more like of a Marvel movie. Like, it was a good movie, period, but like, I expect it to be a Marvel movie.
Well,
I expect you to learn a lot. But yeah,
we'll worry about that more next week because Karen and I still have one more show.
Okay, no, I just was curious if you liked it. All right, yeah, what else? Oh, you guys saw something else I didn't.
Discovery.
Yeah, Discovery.
You mean Star Trek Discovery?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's really just called Discovery, but it's Star Trek, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I just didn't know if that's what you're talking about. All right, I don't think there was anything else I watched. I was trying to think. I think that's it. Okay. Well,
all right.
I guess I will go then. Have a happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Yeah,
and
happy Thanksgiving.
Tell
your
everybody
family.
Celebrates. I can't believe it's that close. 2 days, geez.
I know, right? Yeah.
All righty. Well,
all right,
guys.
All right,
bye-bye.
Don't eat
night,
too
Jamie.
Much. All right, bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. AJ, I think we're fine. So we didn't cover this show previously. Did we even cover it?
No, we did not.
We didn't, because I was still catching up.
No, we didn't, because you kind of binged it. Yeah, you kind of binged it out of nowhere.
Yeah, you know what happened? I got a really awesome deal to sign up for Paramount for a year and a half, thanks to Jamie.
So did I. I just signed up for Paramount myself.
Yeah.
Anybody that has Sprint and T-Mobile customers get Paramount free for a year.
Oh, yeah. Actually,
so that's all
actually
I got.
I think how I started watching it was CBS aired season one, like, on a series of Friday nights. Like, I think CBS, like, put it on the air, and I caught it, and my DVR caught season one, and then I got Paramount and, like, binged the rest of it out of nowhere. Anyway, yes, I suddenly, like, and then I watched Picard, and then I watched Below Decks, and I just, like, binged all Star Trek.
I haven't watched Below Decks yet.
Oh, it's good. It's cute. It's good.
Yeah.
I hear Prodigy is kind of cute also, even though it's really for kids.
Yeah, I'll end up watching that too, I'm sure.
So, and it's kind of lucky, talking about binging, like, it's lucky that I could binge season one because all that Klingon nonsense, I was able to just sort of, like, move quickly through and move on. And I was reading, so talking about this season premiere, I was reading an article on Den of Geek that talked about how the Klingons had been fully erased from last season. Like, season three, we have the time travel element and the new Federation, and the Klingons are just gone, and we don't really know what happened, if they were wiped out or whatever, but they were wiped out from the show because they sucked so much. They were very annoying. That was a very problematic storyline in a lot of ways. and they're
well,
gone.
I'm sure that,
but anyway,
I'm sure the Klingons are out there somewhere, and they'll come back into the fold at some point.
Yes, you can't really have Star Trek without, you know, Klingons showing up once in a while.
Yeah.
But anyway, so season four premiere. I was so intrigued by the title being Kobayashi Maru.
Yes, me too.
Which would intrigue any Star Trek fan, right? And then the way they played it into the episode, like, I get it, but I was a little like, oh, that's what they mean by Kobayashi? Like, this really wasn't a Kobayashi Maru moment, I think, for Michael. I think that was a bit of a stretch. I think, okay, so it was a season premiere, and there are always issues with the season premiere, but I think it was pretty good, and there is some promise for the season. And we can talk about
that, but
what do you think?
I one thing I like, I love Booker. I love the character of Booker, so I'm glad they found, you know, they made, basically, a reason for him to be on Discovery once again.
Yeah.
I mean, I like when he has, you know, his separate stories, too. I love the way the episode started, you know, starts with them being with the butterfly people, trying to
mm-hmm.
make nicey-nice with them, and the whole, you know, misunderstanding and the chase and everything, and then her help, you know, her helping them and then still giving them dilithium. Like, I liked the cold open. I thought that was pretty good.
I did, too. And I think it kind of played well into what happens later because, overall, the theme of the episode and by the end of the episode, what the president is saying to Michael is, like, you always want to take a risk and, like, do your crazy shit because it always works out for you, but you were always risking yourself. And now you're the captain and you can't risk yourself. Like, you either risk the whole – so, like, I liked – the cold open was, I mean, it was great, but also it resonates later because she, like, really, should the captain beam down and do this herself, or should the captain send number one down, right? Like, why? Though it's got to be you, Michael, doing this stuff, right? You're the captain now.
Because that's what Star Trek captains do. I mean, Kirk was always the first one out the door.
I know. And Picard did plenty of away teams also, right? Picard was down on the surface.
Yeah.
Picard
was never as reckless, though. Picard was never as reckless. He was definitely more mature.
He was mature and experienced, right? Like, this is her first time in the chair. And, like, the show has been working towards Michael getting the chair. I mean, that's kind of cool. I think every other Star Trek, the character has always been the captain from the jump, right? Kirk, Picard, Janeway, Sisko, they're all the captain when it opens. And so, seeing Michael,
this is the first time.
And that's going to be kind of cool, I think, right?
I love the shout out to Enterprise. When they named the new station the Archer Station.
Oh, yeah.
Which was for Captain Archer from Enterprise.
Yeah, that was cool. We didn't talk about last season. We didn't cover it. I mean, last season also not without its issues, but it was really a brilliant move to send them, 700, 900 years
to
in the future. It frees you from all canon, right?
Yes.
They're free from all canon, and they're allowed to do whatever they want, but they hold on to a few things like the Prime Directive, Starfleet Academy, like things like that. So, I mean, I think it was pretty cool. It does seem like, so the main thing that happens is they go to that, to rescue that, that star station, star base or whatever it is. Star base is not really a Star Trek term, but they go to this base that's like falling apart because there's,
yeah, science
it's a I think it's a temporal anomaly, like very Star Trek-y thing. And it's a temporal anomaly. No one knows what the hell that is, but it's, you know, or it's a gravitational, anomaly, I think. Or a temporal anomaly. I don't know. Difference, basically.
It was some
right?
kind of anomaly.
Some kind of anomaly is going to destroy the universe. I kind of like that as the big, like, I get that. I can understand that. I can work with that. Right? Like, it's a pretty, I like it better than last season, the Burn, and it was like, Burn turns out to be this kid on a space station who's, like, genetically tied to, like, whatever. I think, like your good old-fashioned gravitational anomaly is maybe a good place for this show to be. This show has had three fairly outlandish storylines for 3 years, right? They've been pushing the limit a little bit. Like the Red Angel was kind of a
this is starting out a little more grounded.
Yes, thank you.
Being,
like it's not an evil AI that wants to destroy all life in the universe. It's not the Red Angel, which was some craziness for a while. It's not half the season being told in Klingon. you know, although I did like the whole, like, evil Giorgio kind of thing going on in season two. It's like a good old-fashioned anomaly, and it's a little more grounded, and it's something I can, I don't know what they're doing this season, but if you're going to do a storyline about Michael growing into being a captain, set it against a kind of a normal emergency that we don't have to put as much brain power into WTFing every single week, right? So.
Yeah, and I think as we watch Michael grow, it's going to be fun because it's going to give the rest of the crew more opportunity to grow themselves, and we'll see that, you know, like Tilly and everybody else as they, because they're going to be the ones doing more if Michael eventually just kind of sits in the chair and tells people what to do for a change, as opposed to just going and doing it herself.
So Tilly she's a lieutenant now, right? Like Tilly's been promoted, demoted, up and down, all over the place. Like, Tilly was number one. She was the captain. She was an ensign when she became the captain, right?
Yeah.
so now she's been demoted but promoted to lieutenant. And she's not number one, I don't think. Is she?
No, she's not number one. Actually,
I mean, I assume, yeah.
No, you know what? Tilly might be her. Tilly might be, well, I don't know. Cause
she might be her number one?
Well, what's her face? The helmsman, the girl with the thing on her face, the metal piece on her. What the hell's her name?
Detmer.
She's a commander.
I love her.
So technically, Detmer might be her number one, because Detmer's a commander.
Oh, she might be number one. Yeah. I mean, I think we assume that Saru will come back and assume that role, right? Like, Saru's coming back, right? What do you think about Saru?
Well, yeah, I mean, the conversation that Saru had with the child, whose name is, I can't remember. He told Saru, hey, you can be here, but actually be out there. Like, you don't have to continue to stay here on our home planet, you know? Like, you know, Saru is the bridge between.
Yeah.
So I gotta believe
Saru. You can go.
Yeah. I mean, Saru's gonna show, you know, gotta believe he's gonna come back. Maybe not right away. It may take a couple episodes, but he's definitely gonna end up back on Discovery.
Well, I think he's gonna end up back on Discovery, and I was thinking to myself, do we even need these scenes on Kaminar? I was like, do we even need these scenes? Couldn't they have just expositioned it away and been like, yeah, I spent some time there, now I'm back, I love being on this ship.
No, because we don't like exposition.
And I wonder, I don't, but people do it. And I was thinking to myself, why didn't they do it? And I think, I know why. Kaminar will probably be one of the planets at risk of being destroyed by the anomaly.
And,
right? I mean, why show it, first of all, if we're not going to see it again? And I also think that this anomaly is far more dangerous if it threatens a planet that we know and care about, right? Like, there has to be people that we care about. And I'm really sorry that this planet got destroyed, because it was a really cool and nice planet. And also a son and nephew died. But they're gone now, so we don't have that emotional thing of, like, let's save this planet. So I wonder if, like, Kaminar will be like a planet that's at risk and has to be saved, and like if that's a way to grant. Otherwise, I don't know, because I was just like, why are they showing this? Why couldn't they have just expositioned it away? Yes, I don't like that, but it is a narrative choice, right? I don't know.
Guess we'll see.
I have high hopes for the season. I think it'll be. I think it's been getting better every season.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Do you have any episodes it is?
I would say 10 to 13. I don't know exactly.
I think it's been 13 in the past, right?
Then it's probably 13 then.
Yeah.
I can't remember what show is how many until I watch them.
Right.
It's the world we live in now.
That might be the case. I know, right? Too hard to keep track. So, all right. Well, it'll get better.
Right,
we'll talk about as it gets more involved.
Yeah.
Week after week.
So that is our show for this week, people.
Yeah.
We'll be a little
bit
shorter next week because we only have one episode of Wheel of Time to talk about.
Oh my God! Yeah, and we'll have two people talking about it because one person is failing.
There you go. We'll only have two of us talking about it.
You won't have me ranting for 10 minutes about how much I hate it.
You know what I find funny though. I haven't watched any Walking Dead shows all right, this is season 11. So what, 4 years now? I haven't watched The Walking Dead. And you guys still take half an hour per. You guys still take half an hour per show.
I know, but you know what? I think we wouldn't talk as long if we didn't hate it. So, like, I talk longer because I hate it.
Well, yeah, I know. I agree. I feel like we take longer even if we're slightly annoyed. We have to make sure everybody understands how annoyed we are.
That's right.
And the only time we talk forever about something we love is if we love it green. Like, if it's so amazing that we have to just keep talking about it.
Like, if it's an episode of The Expanse, then we would talk for a long time about it.
Yeah. Like we're better off when we moderately like something, because then we kind of get to the point of it, talk a little bit, and that's it.
Star Trek, it was fine. Okay, move on.
Yeah. There we go.
So.
Perfect example. So.
All right.
All right, folks.
We'll be a little shorter next week.
Taryn,
have
a great Thanksgiving.
You too, you and your family. Are you cooking? Do you do the cooking, AJ?
I am cooking. I am cooking this year.
Make a turkey, huh?
I get free bird from work.
Oh, yeah, nice. Nice. All right.
It was really nice last year.
My brother's house.
Because Junie was working at Sam's with me last year, so we got two birds, so we cooked one at Christmas.
Oh, nice. Oh. Gosh, you couldn't take one for the team and get a job there this month?
No.
Only
she's
one
better
turkey
off not
this
working
year.
Retail. She doesn't have the patience for retail.
She's more like her mother, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right. You guys, so good luck cooking your bird.
Everybody have a happy and
safe
Thanksgiving, and we
be
will
safe
do
on
it
the
again
road
next week.
And All right. Talk to you on Tuesday.
All right.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.